Good morning to the department and with the entities, Alesco and Safcon, and members of the our guests, members of the public and the media that are in attendance. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for coming. This is the meeting of the Public Enterprises Committee. Together with the Department of Public Enterprises and the entities, the two entities, we are dealing as per our agenda. We are going to receive, members are going to receive a briefing on the annual report and financial statement of 2016-2017 by Alesco, and that's the first leg of their presentation, and the second one is going to be performance targets of 2018-19 financial year and a progress report on Richtersveld community. Then later we'll be having a briefing by Safcon on the performance target for 2018-2019 financial year. DG, would you like to introduce the matter and the entity, and then we take it from there. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members. The Chair, we have Alesco, which is led this morning by the Chairperson, who will introduce herself and her team, who will run us through the 18-19 financial performance expectations, as well as the previous year, 2016-17. 16-17, annual report as well as financial statement. Sorry, Chair. of course, indicate some of the successes that they have had in that financial year, as well as some of the challenges that they have had. And if there are any particular areas that they would like the portfolio committee to come to their assistance, and after that, then we'll have a discussion, and then, or rather, we'll provide an update on the issues at the Richtersveld that has to do where Alesco and the department has a mandate, and obviously if where there are areas that we where we believe the portfolio committee can be of assistance, those shall be highlighted. On that note, Chair, can I hand over to the Chairperson of Alesco?
Not before you introduce the Chairperson. Then the Chairperson will introduce his delegation.
Oh, all right. I thought she would do that, but let me introduce the Chairperson of Alesco is Ms. Hansi Maeza Matrike now. If I can ask her to then proceed and introduce it.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I am today with my two colleagues. Mr. Lemohan Pitswe is the CEO of Alesco, and Adila Chowen is the CFO of Alesco. I am going to give a brief overview on the organization in relation to the 16-17 financials. The 16-17 financial was a good year to Alesco, mainly due to the fact that we were mining our deep sea marine. So So we had a company there called IMDSA. They performed very well. They were producing about 1,000 carats a day. We ended up in that year producing about 112,000 carats a year, which gave us a revenue of about 758 million. It is important for the committee to note that between 70% and 80% of what we produce goes back to the contractor because of the model that we have adopted as Alexco. Our model is such that we appoint a contractor, and when the contractor produces carrots, when we receive any revenue, we have we agree on a split. The split varies from 50-50 to 80-20. In as far as IMDSA is concerned, our split was sitting at an 85-15% to Alexco. The revenue in that year got us to a profitable situation of about 6 million from a loss of 35 million the previous year. So it was a good year to Alexco. We were still faced with challenges of irregular expenditure, not because money was not directed to the right services. Services were rendered, but documentation was an issue where we could not trace or check some of the documents that were entered or where contracts were entered to with the mine and with Alexco for a period of many years. We also had wasteful expenditure, and that was due to misallocation by SARS, and the second situation where there was misallocation, SARS did reimburse us about 600,000, but where we had a late payment, unfortunately, that was a cash situation from the Alexco site, and we were then penalized. We had another irregular expenditure where Alexco had to move offices from Rosebank to Woodmead, and that resulted in Alexco saving about 100,000 a month. So the move was necessary, but we had to pay a penalty, and with that penalty, that was classified as a wasteful expenditure. We are on point in as far as delivering to the community. We still are having challenges with the three items that still needs to be delivered upon against the deed of settlement agreement. We still have to pay the 45 million and the transfer of property. We still have to transfer the township into the local municipality. That those three items are still a challenge today, but there are continuous discussion with DPE. We are having also discussions to the effect that elections in the community should be held so that all structures of the community are regularized or are properly constituted, and that is something that rural development is busy with. We were able to finalize the appointment of the CEO and the CFO. Today we are glad to say that we have a stable Alexco head office. We achieved an unqualified audit at that time. We still are classified as a going concern. With the business of Alexco being the mine only, the going concern is a serious risk. We were hoping to enter into the space of coal beneficiation, but there's a moratorium on it currently. But it is something that we would need to engage the DPE on. The issue around capacitating the board fully has also become urgent. Our Audit and Risk Committee, the chairperson has resigned. We had one of the board member who had served the 10-year term. His term ended, and then we had another resignation, so we had three vacant positions, but of our main concern is the audit and risk chairperson. If we can get that that filled ASAP, that will assist Alexco. I will leave the rest to the CEO to present.
It's just a second. Thank you, Chairperson of the Board, and you are most welcome leading your delegation. I don't want to record this. There is a sitting that might disturb us. It's the second time that will happen. I think the DG would like to consult with you time to time when we raise issues.
Yeah.
If you could just let me just see, please. Cross the floor.
Right.
So that you are also able to consult with your colleagues on this side. Thank you very much. You are fine there, you are fine there, you are fine there. Thank you. Shall we proceed? Thank you very much. CEO.
Thanks, Chair. As the Chair of Election already said, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Avila Choen to talk about 2016-17 financial performance, and then we'll go back to our 18-19 projected targets.
Morning, Chair. Morning, everyone on the table. My name is Adila. I'm the CFO for Alexco. Just to give you an insight of what happened in the 2016-17 financial year, actually Alexco had one of the best years. We had a significant improvement in the production. Alexco itself, the CSJV, produced just over 50,000 diamonds, and the contract with IMDSA produced just over 112,000 carats of diamonds, which gave us a total production of 162,000 production. Revenue and
slide number. You are on slide number.
Yeah, I'm just talking to the narrative that we've got on it. Slide 8. Yeah.
Number 8. Thank you. Okay.
Okay,
we'll start with a 10 million investment. Remember?
Yeah, that's
fine.
Okay, moving on to the next
slide. Can you put the mic, please?
Mm. Okay, moving on to slide 9. This is where we outlined the fact that we moved offices. We were originally at the Rose Bank office, and then we moved to the Woodmead office. The reason for the relocation was justified in terms of the cost savings of 100,000 Rand, as mentioned by the chairperson, but it also came with its shortfall in the sense that we were there was 1. Some odd million reflected as irregular or fruitless and wasteful expenditure that related to the work that was done in the offices, because you normally capitalize the cost and you write it over the period of the lease. And because we moved out of the premises early, that cost hit the income statement, even though overall we saved in terms of the relocation. But from an accounting perspective, the auditors recognized that as fruitless wasteful expenditure. Chairperson also mentioned that we came out of a loss situation in the previous year of 35.5 million. And we reported a net profit of 6 million, and that was primarily as a result of the improvement in the production from the PSJV. Then moving on to slide 11. As you'll see, our current ratio is quite good. It's 3 to 3.5. Our operational cash, we are sitting with significant amounts of cash, but it's over the years you would see it's been reducing, because we don't have an ongoing access to cash. Alexco at head office is dependent on the PSJV to provide returns, which we only get or account for 51%. Other 49% is for the community. Also, Alexco does not okay, historically Alaska has not got money from the National Treasury in respect of its opioid operations. We will see in the slides later to come that there's a trend that shows that our cash reserves are reducing. And as the chairperson also pointed out, that there are steps being taken in terms of to strategize in terms of new ventures, which is diamond beneficiation, the coal beneficiation. And some of these projects, a lot of work has been done, but it's been brought to a standstill in the interim because of the moratorium that has been placed on Alexco. We had also received income. The income is from the properties that we own in Port Nolas, and that's one of the streams of revenue that Alexco recognizes. We achieved 87% of our budget. With regard to our rehabilitation obligation that is relating to the historical rehabilitation, in the previous financial year we awarded the tender with regard to the rehabilitation, and significant work has gone into it, specifically with regard to the asbestos site in terms of cleaning up.
As the chairperson has mentioned, point number two, IMD slide 12. Yes, sir, on bullet point number two, we had increase in performance. Basically, before that, IMDSA, we were averaging 50,000 carats per hour number. With the deep sea, we managed to do IMDSA, International Marine Drilling South Africa, dredging, sorry, South Africa. Yeah, it's one of our contractors on, if you talk marine dam, marine mining, we have shallow, mid, and deep. So IMDSA is on the deep sections, which is 30 meters deep, and this is big boats. So they were able to generate 112 carats for that year. You can see the next slide, just looking at the PSAV carat production, we increased the length and the shallows by almost 5,000 carats for that year to 50,000. And point number four is exactly what you've just mentioned. Your net profit for that year was 34 million. That's us the 5.3 million the year before. And it's before interest, almost 51 million, versus the 34 million. And like we said as well, the revenue increased because of extra carotage that was produced by IMDSA. Safety, we met our target. The target was 0.4, and we achieved 0.1. Adia.
The annual financial statements for Alexco and the PSJV have been prepared on a going concern basis, but it also does have its challenges, as I explained, that we are dependent on the PSJV for support, and also there are risks in respect of the fact that the auditor has highlighted in their audit report with regard to the ability to continue as a going concern. The annual financial statements had a modified opinion, and there was an emphasis of matter in respect of the prior year figures that were restated. Then moving on to slide 14, you will see the trend in respect of the revenue. And as I mentioned in the beginning, that 2017, the production was, it was an exceptional year. We produced 162,000 carats, which contributed to the revenue of 386 million. Then moving on to slide 15, the net income. The net income is not exactly a very pretty picture, but it's still positive if you look at it in comparison to the previous year. We closed at 11.8 million rand profit. Then on to slide 16, the cost of sales is high. Our model is based on the fact that we contract the work out in respect of the mining, which is 70% of the revenue is paid out to contractors, and hence the significant increase in the cost of sales as noted in 2017, which is aligned to your revenue of 358 million. Moving on to slide 17, as I said, we moved from a loss of 35.5 million in the previous year, which was because of the reduced production, and in 2017 we closed with a 6 million rand profit. I also, on slide 18, I highlighted that our cash reserves are reducing as we do not get funding from the state, and a lot of the cash that we have been given, which is included in the 305 million, a portion of it is allocated for the rehabilitation. There was a portion in it that was the remaining balance that we have to pay in terms of the initial cost contribution of the loans. So hence one would expect the cash to come down as we continue to comply with our obligations. Then moving on to slide 19, it just gives you the breakdown of some of our government-funded obligations. In terms of the township establishment, we have 5.5 million rand at the end of the year. In terms of the deed of settlement, we have 6.3 million rand at the end of 2016-17 financial year. And in terms of the PSJV, there was about 40 million rand for the recapitalization. Our total government-funded obligations is sitting at 51.4 million as at 31st March 2017. And then if we move on to slide 20, you would see that it gives us an indication of how we spend our money between the contractors in terms of the land and marine, but it also gives you an indication of how we are contributing to the local community. The number of local contractors on the land is 11 and the marine is 61. And the non-local contractors, you can see it's 20 for land and 18 for marine. Revenue earned by the local contractors is 14 million as opposed to non-local contractors 16. And then on the marine side, the local contractors made 72 million. Local contractors. And then on the revenue side, on the non-local was 27 million. The next slide on 21 is an indication of how we spend our money in terms of CSI. We contributed in total of 1.2 million. You can see the bulk of it went into bursaries that were given to students and experimental learning, and we remain committed in terms of assisting the community in Alexandra Bay. Slide 22, we're talking to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The chairperson did indicate at the beginning of this. The bulk of the cost is in respect of interest incurred with regard to an incorrect allocation, but we can't immediately remove it because you've got to wait for the receipt of revenue to reverse it. But not all the interest was reversed. A portion of it was also allocated to the fact that due to our challenges on the cash at that point in time, the PYE was paid late. And also included in that cost is the installation cost, which the auditors recognize as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as we had not stayed the full term at Rosebank premises. And then the irregular expenditure, the bulk of it is again with regard to the premises removed. Unfortunately, there was proof that we went out on tender and the file could not be found, and the entire process was managed externally for us in terms of the procurement and the tender. And when we requested the file, actually got lost in transit in terms of the fact that they claimed they had given it to us at our office and we could not locate it. But having said that, we've now put in steps to mitigate against these risks, and also we've appointed a supply chain person within Alex Book to ensure that we are doing it in-house to avoid a situation like this. Moving on to slide 24. We've got on our financial statement, it's just a note disclosure, a 10 million rand, which was withdrawn in error from the rehabilitation trust. And because the money has been earmarked specifically for rehabilitation, if you withdraw any money, you can get taxed if it's not used for the basis on which the trust was set up. Hence, it's disclosed as a possible risk of us having to pay tax on it, because the money was withdrawn in one period and put back into the trust. We corrected the situation after the error was picked up, but it was put in a different period. So hence, the contingent liability is noted on the financial statement. Borrowings, we don't have any borrowings except for the money that we loan out to the PSJV, which is in terms of our deed of settlement to the maximum of 200 million. There were no dividends declared in the 2017 financial year. Alistair has a guarantee to the value of 564 million. An amount of 45 million rand from the medium term expenditure framework was released for operations as approved by the board. This was based on the valuation that we did on our rehabilitation obligation, and we had identified that there was surplus cash of 45 million, which we've released. The PSJV also committed in the 2016-17 financial year to pay us 10 million rand, which was paid during the course of the 2017-18 financial year. And during the period as well, there were three independent directors appointed to the board of the RMC. Then moving on to slide number 26, it just gives you a reflection of the movement in the CFO position. The CFO resigned on 7th October 2016 and was replaced with another CFO, which then resigned again, and the subsequently, which created a bit of a challenge in terms of our stability within Alexco. Dr. Paul has served his term, as the chairperson has indicated, and he retired from the board on 30th September, but he stayed on to in an advisory capacity to the board. The two positions that were filled during the 2017-18 financial year was the CEO's position and the CFO's position. And in the 2017-18 year, the board commenced with the appointment of a corporate services manager. The position has since been filled as of 2nd May 2018. Then the slide 27 is just a reflection of the different committees that we have within Alexco, which is your Auditors Committee, your Social Ethics Committee, the Tender Committee, and the Rehabilitation Committee. You would notice that both the Alexco and the PSJV have these committees to ensure that we are in compliance with PFMA as well. Then our board fees, our stakeholder approved a 6.1% increase for the non-executive directors, and a 6.1% increase for the executive management. The basis on which the fees were agreed was one taking into account CPI and also the fact that there was a lot of instability within Alexco, so to stabilize the board and the management within Alexco. We comply with the guidelines that were set by the Department of Public Enterprise in terms of remuneration for the members. And then on slide 29, it's a reflection of all the remuneration that has been paid to non-executive directors, which is in line with what's in our annual financial statement for 2016-17 financial year. And the same is in slide 30 as well. This relates to the PSJV's payment of non-executive directors' remuneration. Moving on to slide 31 is a reflection of the directors' remuneration during the year for the executive management. And then slide 32 is basically looking at the challenges to be addressed in the 2017-18 financial year.
Thanks, Adina. The chairperson has alluded before. Before we get to the 18-19 performance target, we just have to highlight the challenges we had. We started the due diligence for what we term coal processing, toll processing beneficiation project. That, like the chairperson has said, has been put on hold, or rather being rejected until further notice. We also have a challenge on working capital because not much exploration was done on the land for resource and reserve statement. So your land production is very, very inadequate versus your sea. subsequent to a successful IMDSA performance in the previous financial year, in 2017, they had an incident whereby there was a fire in the ship, and that required the ship be sailed back to Cape Town for refurbishment and compliance with the non-fire regulators. That also affected our production for 2017-2018 financial year. We put in the lack of resource capacity at the corporate office, but that has been since dealt with. Conclusion of the deed of settlement obligations and the township handover, those are the issues that are basically hindering the operations of Alexco as a mining entity, because these are now your community issues that have to be dealt simultaneously with your local, regional, and national establishment. The resolution of community issues, yeah, that the second point also goes boils down to that thing. And the third one is your inadequacy of the board, which was raised before by the chairperson. So I'm going to go to the target sort of for the year. Sorry, chairperson, should we continue?
Can you pause? Members, how would you like us to proceed? Do you want us to pause and ask questions now? They record the questions and then come without responding, and then come back and report the 2018, or you want them to be done continuously? I will proceed. You can proceed. Thank you. Dealing with 2018-19 now, isn't it?
Target.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hoping the presentation is somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a shorter presentation that so it's for budget.
The other one.
Slide 3, Alexco predetermined performances, taking them from 2014, 15, 16, 17, and 2018. You'll see there, the first one was employment equity, creation of jobs, CSR, local content, spend on BEE, and then black women on. So for 2014, 15, 16, our employment equity targets were met.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The creation of jobs, we also met it in 2015, because so far we've got around 860 people, of which 500 are your contractors. CSIR, which is a corporate social responsibility, we made it 100%. The local content is also made 100%. So spend on BEE, from 2016 we started taking the numbers, and there are 62%. Where we failed was your financial stability. Slide number 4 on the shorter presentation. Starting with your financial stability.
Slide number 4, in which presentation are we?
I indicated that we...
No. He says when he was starting to speak now after he wrote his federal, he said slide number 4 in the other presentation. That's what I'm asking. Which presentation is he speaking about now?
Well, that's fine, but I'm asking myself. Aren't we going through this presentation?
The performance one.
Yes, that's what I indicated to members, that now we're moving to 2018. I even said it's a thinner document. I showed you guys, members, that it's a thinner document, the second document. You haven't received it? You don't have it? Earlier on, members, how many of us we don't have? Look like the entire permit. Okay, you have it, Dorotela, and who else? You are the only one. Okay, so let's just do this. Earlier on I was informed by you requested something and I'm going to come to you just now. I was informed that the document only arrived late yesterday. And our team were busy with it this morning. And I was given that the explanation given was that the entity did send it in time, but it was delayed to get a signature for approval. Then that's why it came late that last night. But I've already talked to the ministry's office that if that could prevent it in future. Let's bear with the team. They are still printing. So I suggest that we go straight to the discussion for the previous financial year. The current financial year will do it when the documents arrive. On that note, I think we can proceed. I will start with, I'm recognizing hands now. I will start with Honorable Feli, who has to leave to join another meeting, and then followed by Honorable Mare. Honorable Feli, Honorable Mare, Honorable who else?
Just
a second. Members, please make up your mind quick because I might close the list. In that order. Go ahead,
Let me welcome the presentation just to check on some few issues as presented. And I want to start with the 45 million roads that are the community issue. Because I'm sure you're aware that we are at the stage where we're going to our budget debate in the last two financial years. It's an issue that we have always been talking about as an outstanding issue. And I want to be clarified on what is it that we are going to be reporting this time around, differently from what we have been saying in the last two financial years. On this particular issue. It's an issue that has always been there for quite some time. It can't be right that every time we go to Parliament, report the same thing, and no progress. But I'm interested in what is it that this time around we want to report differently from what we have been saying in the last two financial years. The retainer fee for board members, what is it? Just to clarify that particular aspect. The retainer fee for board members that has been paid. The irregular expenditure that was caused by staff that have left the company. I'm sorry. I'm worried about that one. does it mean I can cause the regular expenditure and leave, and then the matter is left like that? Because the president, from the presentation, it suggests that the matter is closed now that those people have left, those who have caused that irregular expenditure. They are no longer part of the company, they have left. Now the matter has been left as such. Is that how things are supposed to be handled in the company? And I'm from where I'm sitting, I'm not convinced that is how we need to handle this matter. There's an issue of bazaars, 519,000, I think, so somewhere. I don't remember the page. I need that clarity on whether we're talking about internally or people outside the company. If it's outside, where are these people who have been awarded these bazaars? And we are also interested in the field as well. The last one, which is very worrying to me, is the net profit as reported on page 12 vis-a-vis page 9 report on the loss. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction there, because page 12 you say net profit of 34.9 million was achieved for the year. And then going to page 12, page 9, that was page 12, page 9, page 9, you're talking about the turnaround. Turnaround of the company from a consolidated loss of 35.5 million. To me, those statements don't talk to each other. And we're talking about the same financial year 2016. Do you see what I'm talking about? Page 9 vis-a-vis 12, page 12. The loss. There is a loss, a net profit of 34 million. But when you go to the other page, there is a loss there. It's no longer a profit. Can you clarify that particular aspect? What is happening?
Not now when you respond.
So as I was saying, on page 12, there is a profit of 34 million. You go to page 9, that profit is now a loss of 34, 35.5 million. Can you clarify that particular aspect? Thanks. Those were the issues that I needed to be clarified on.
Before I proceed to the next member, I just want a clarity from you, Chair and the team. Are you still going to give us a report, an update report on the community issue? Or as you were reporting, you just gone through it in passing, or you are still coming back to give us a report when you are dealing with 2018-19?
Chair, I would like to apologize. We have not prepared a presentation to the community issues, but we can speak to the community issues.
Okay, that's fine. TDG.
Thank you for the promotion, Chair. Chair, we'll provide an update on the community issues as they relate to the responsibility given to GPE and Alex. So that will come from us. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm cautioning the members to say, please don't get into that question. You hold it there. Hold your thoughts until you are given a report on it, then we'll come back to it. Honorable Marek? Honorable Sally, you are... I'm in for a meeting. You will come back when you are free. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
First, I want to know, have any monies been paid to the RMC or Richtersveld community up to date for the 49% held? If not, why not? And then, this question is to the CEO as well as the chairperson of the board. Are everything that we say is recorded, Chair?
Yes.
My question is as follows. Have you ever met or had contact with the Guptas at any stage or their associates or associated companies? This question I address to the CEO and the chairperson of the board. Next. Did you do due diligence on SS160, and were you and are you aware that Kubera Mahmoodli, the majority shareholder, was in business with the Guptas and associated companies? Next question, where is the diamond beautification factory of SS60 who are processing the Alex Corp production? How many people you employ there? And how often do you as CEO visit this operation? And then my question is, are you both the CEO of PSGV and the state diamond trader? If that's the case, does the state diamond trader buy the 10% of Alex Corp's production in terms of, as it offers in terms of legislation? And who value this production? And is this also not a conflict of interest?
Can they repeat that question?
Okay, please repeat.
I want to know if he's the CEO of PSGV and the state diamond trader. That's the question. And isn't that, if it's a case, is it not a conflict of interest? And does the state diamond trader buy 10% of Alex Corp's production that is offered in terms of the legislation? If so, who values this production? Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Welcome, followed by Honorable Luyenge.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, Chair, is firstly to the Chairperson. Chairperson, you came into that hot seat of being a chairperson of Alex Corp, and you have an obligation to make that organization to work cost effectively. Then what is your view as it pertains to the exporting of your raw material as against trying to process it internally and see if you are not going to make the gain that is needed as a profit? Is there any improvement as it pertains to the safety standards in the mine? On HR, can we get an understanding, CEO, around the staff establishment of the entire organization? And do you have any vacancy rate, especially on the critical areas of the organization? Do you have this account that is called suspense account? I'm asking this question. It's a cutter cross question that I use to ask, especially in organizations like yourself, where there are monies that are unclaimed for a number of reasons. Where do you keep those funds, and who actually benefits out of the interest, if any. Then lastly, the social responsibility exercise, generally in the mind, because you need an institution that is practicing the living of a healthier lifestyle. Do you have such programs, and also a social responsibility in plowing back now to the communities? Thank you, sir.
Followed by Honorable Ranso.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got few concerns that I would want to raise. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first, I need us as a committee to consider, now that we have two executive boards in Alexco, we need to get to the two chairpersons of the board. If it's one chairperson, that is in both boards, that would be a very serious concern, because I think we wouldn't have time to listen or space to listen to the other version of the story, because as far as I know, Chair, Alexco has got a board of Alexco. And there's another board of the TSD. I'm not sure if we must call the whole board maybe to a meeting, the whole board of the PSJV to a meeting, and maybe listen to them also and compare the notes. We just need to consider that as a committee, if it's going to help us going forward. We can sit and consider that as a committee. My first question is on the issue of the bursaries that Comrade or Honorable Tedi has spoken about, because the bursaries that are supposed to be in that space, a lot of bursaries should have been bursaries that are related to the work done within the company to develop skills. Remember, we have a skills shortage generally in South Africa. So if we can have a company that develop the skills within that company, that would help us. So I would want to hear. And I think you have been very much casual in your Auditor General statement. You have been very general, because I think it would have been better if you have explained all the issues that the Auditor General has raised, and you explain them in detail. Why would why were you not following the PFMA, for example? You did not. The Auditor General said you did not obtain sufficient appropriate audit. I mean, the auditor was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that some goods, works, and services were procured through a procurement process which is fair, equitable, transparent, and competitive. You generalized on the issue of the Auditor General. To me, it is our concern when the Auditor General raised issues and you just browse on the issues and you're not getting into details. Can you please get into details on all the issues that the Auditor General has raised? the Auditor General also raised the issue of the accounting authority that did not investigate irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That was not, I'm not sure if you are still going there, that was not identified in the prior year. The irregular expenditure was condoned without following the proper due processes. Those are the things that I think they need your special attention. Because if the Auditor General raised issues, you need to take care, you need to consider those issues and follow those issues and try to get to the bottom of what he, because he will keep on raising the issues up until you correct them. Chair, I've got a few questions. You know, Chair, I've got a lot of questions to Aleppo. In their slide, in their slide six, I think. I just want to know if you do what you have, if you do the outcome of your strategy, this is the outcome of your strategy session. You are saying during November 2016 an in-depth company strategy was conducted. You said increase land current production, mid water strategy, exploring other diamond opportunities, and it means you are going to move away from, you're not going to focus only on Richterveld, you will move to other, you will explore other area that you have specified maybe in your explanation. Are you then not going to change your focus area? Are you then not going to put yourself into a dilemma that you will never be able to get out of in future? Have you done all your research to get to that point? To me, this, according to me, I've never been into Richterveld and see what is happening. We only hear from you. Therefore, I want you to check if is it really going to be a success what you are looking at. You once spoke, Chairperson of the board, you once introduced to us as a committee the exploration of coal, getting into coal. Does that mean when you get into coal, you are going to leave diamonds, leave it to a private company maybe to seek further, to explore further into diamond? You as Alexco will then leave and get into coal. And then how many years do you think more or less are left with you mining diamond? Because my understanding is that you are mining diamonds from the sea, rivers and on land. The part of land might be the part that is maybe depleting, but the sea is moving. It can take diamond from where it is, take it outside. It can move from outside, bringing diamond into where, in your own area. So, because the sea is always moving, I just want to check what is your thinking in this area. On slide 14, where there is consolidated statement of comprehensive income. I'm not good in monies. I'm not even good in my own salary, to use my own salary. But I need an explanation, a further explanation on this. Is this slight promising, or is this slight getting us into trouble? Is this a promising slide? Same as the other slide in this is 14. I think the other slide in, there's a slide that you said it's a bad, it reflects badly. Yeah, slide, is it slide 17? Slide 17 or 16?
Are you referring to the consolidated statement of comprehensive income and revenue?
Mm.
Okay.
Yes, it's slide 15 that you said it is not good. And I'm looking at the years from 2013 to 2017. According to my knowledge, when you show us a bar or what do you call it,
yeah,
a block that is up, you are showing us an increase in whatever is happening. And then if you show then a low, and then it is low, it means it has decreased. Or you will explain if I've got the wrong explanation. Just tell us why is it looking like this? Why in a 4 years period down the line, it is it because the mine is depleting, or is it because of any other reason? The on slide 20. The revenue earned by non-local contractors on land and in marine. It looks better than local contractors. Is it because of resources, maybe, that the local contractors do not have enough resources to mine, or is it something else? Oh, my last question would be on the... my other thing. Chair, you can
well, I will come
you can
back
give
to you,
yeah,
but,
you can give somebody
Marek,
else a chance.
Taking a space of honorable thing, I apologize to go to a chief Swiss meeting.
Excuse me, Chair. Excuse me, can I get the last question?
No, she's gonna come back, she's going to clarify it when she comes back.
Thank you, Chairperson. The finding on the procurement process is not being followed is concerning, and especially in the light of allegations, and I put the word there, that Alex Core Diamond marketing partner Scarlet Sky Investment 60 was appointed irregularly. What is the entity doing regarding these allegations? These include allegations that diamond prices received for Alex Core Diamonds have been fallen since Scarlet Sky Investments has taken over as Alex Core's diamond marketing partner, and that is quite serious. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ransom?
Hey, Chair, I've got another slide, another document in my hand. The one that I was reading and marked is not here. I think the devolution that took it.
Okay, can you clarify the one that they requested that your last question, was it the last one?
Yes, ma'am, on the local or the...
The marine and the land. Yeah.
Slide 20.
Yes, I said what might be the problem. Is it lack of resources from the locals, and then maybe the outside contractors look to be having a very good revenue? Are they more resourced than the locals? If they are more resourced than the locals, you as a company,
okay,
how do you help the locals to get to the level of the... of the outside company or outside contractor? Thanks.
Thank you, members. The deemed fruitless and wasteful expenditure by the AG, what is the consequence management that you are applying to those? And I think other members have phrased that. and we are putting emphasis on that, and I would like to get those. And when you talk of external auditor's opinion was modified, can you unpack how? And then on slide 12, you talk of IMDSA. Who owns? You did not tell us who owns that IMDSA. The other members also, one of the members mentioned that the risk or in your presentation, the risk thereof, it was yourselves presenting the mitigation. I would like you to mitigate the risk before it takes place, rather than always you being reactive, to minimize the risk. What is good about your presentation is that you don't have borrowings. It's a positive thing on the company. The two boards, one member asked about the chairperson. My one is general. Is that do you have any member that serves in both boards? And why do we have to have two boards, the joint venture and the LSCO board? Why can that be reduced to one of the other? Be it the joint venture or the board? Why do we really need to have two boards? Is that still relevant to date? Who gets the 35% and 15% respectively? 85 and 15 respectively. Yeah. Also, on your annual report, I think page 91. You are not meeting the target on the BEE. Why? And then what are you going to do about it going forward? Thank you. Can now, Chairperson, whether you want to start or you want to close the responses, it's up to you. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, are you going to give us another bite on the same presentation, or we're going to pass?
No, I gave you a second round, and you misplaced your document. Have you found them?
Yes, I found.
I'm being very nice to you, Honorable Ranto. I'm being very nice to you. Okay.
You know, these entities, they are so scarce in our meetings. We have taken a resolution that we see them quarterly, but it's not happening. Now that we have you, Chairperson, as a permanent chairperson of the committee, maybe that will start happening. You'll push that to happen
to the department
also.
On my first meeting with the then Minister Brown, and then I indicated that I also repeated it with the current minister. So that is going to happen, and I indicated to entities when they were here earlier on that that thing of a quota is not going to hold anymore. So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to check with it's not a lot of questions. I just wanted to check your report really is I'm really concerned about the way you browsed through your report, and maybe is I'm not sure if it's because the CEO has few months in the company, but I just wanted to check the underperformance of the maize flock that you spoke about in your report. Why is there underperformance? Why is the underperformance of the maize flag in their production?
what happened there. And the last one, Chair, it's just to check with the Alexco is part of public enterprises, and public enterprises is not a mining what department.
Mining,
not the mining department, but you are mining. Do you comply with the mining charter as a company? Thank you very much.
You can now respond. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair Martin. Welcome.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for. Thanks for questions. I'll start with the first questions on the issue of the.
Hold on, Honourable Maria. I'm sorry to disturb you, Honourable Yenge. Can we move the members move up? We have a situation now. We can stretch, we can just stretch if members want to stretch while we are shifting. Just for a few seconds.
Come, please. Madam, come this way. Okay, there are three chairs open here. Three chairs.
Yeah, but I would still like members to shift first. Let's allow members to shift so that we'll be able to move up. Just hold on. Michelle would say, we have a pair, it's too, otherwise it's in here, right? No, remain, Nina, you can remain. She and your 1 for 30. If Becky, I call, we've not in the substitute, let's make Becky, I call. Let's say, if we come share, it's too low, sack. Better, oh, number one, I'm going to make a little bit. Can the guests get Bangalibali Kuku Kritana Babanje? We are disturbing our meeting. Can you second, please? We'll greet each other later. Our room is very small. You'll pardon us, won't be able to accommodate all of you. Especially now I have to stop the meeting. No, don't say that. No, don't. Can we requested long time ago that there's two chairs. Gentlemen, can you just sort of allow those ladies that are coming to move it? Two people can sit.
One can come
after this
one.
I'm sorry that I will have to rush you because I had to stop the meeting in order to accommodate you as you're arriving. Can you just move, please? Can gentlemen be kindly enough to allow ladies to sit? I'm referring to your gentlemen, among your delegation, to allow their ladies to sit. No. I'm talking to their gentlemen. I'm talking to their own gentlemen to allow their ladies to sit. That's how it's done in a civilized society. There's another chair.
Can
can you move in a little bit? Singabulani lama blinding go cock and I my look cock and I'm for sure. Unfortunately, this is all I can afford at the moment. This is not an empty chair. The member is still coming. As he has gone to another meeting, he's coming back. Can we now proceed? We'll manage as the situation. Let me welcome, Chair of the Board. You are all welcome. I understand you come very far. You are welcome. We pardon you with the disturbance as our guest. We are now at the middle of the meeting, and I hope you do understand that yours is to observe. Thank you. When you have issues, you pass the issues on your constituent offices of the MPs in your areas or any other MP. Thank you very much. Please proceed, Chair of the Board.
Thanks, Chair. I'll start with the first question on the 45 million. What is happening to the 45 million? ALEFCO moved the 45 million into a trust. The 45 million is supposed to go hand in hand with the transfer of property. The 45 million is supposed to be transferred into a property holding company. The reason the money was not transferred into the property holding company was because the property holding company is not properly constituted. There has been discussions with the community and DPE and rural development that elections should be held so that all structures of communities are properly constituted. And that discussion, probably DPE will be able to give feedback on. So that's what's holding the 45 million, but the 45 million is now in the trust. The question was also asking as far as whether, by Mr. Murray, whether the money was paid into RMC at all. There were the dividends declared of 10 million. And 49% of that 10 million was also put into a trust because RMC themselves are not properly constituted. So we're still waiting on the whole process of elections and AGMs to take place so that all the structures are properly constituted. It is to be noted that on the deed of settlement there was an allowance of about 6 million that should allow that ALEFCO assists the community to be properly constituted, all the structures to be properly constituted. ALEFCO has spent, I think, close to 5 million on that, but nothing is properly constituted yet. The issues around the irregular expenditure, documentation, these are contracts that are old. These are contracts that were more than five years, like your Vodacom or your Cell C contract, and then when documentations were needed from with the, because we've just changed the external auditors to SNG. When SNG asked for those old contracts, the contracts were not found, but the services are rendered. So we have had to go back and regularize all that space and that get the contracts. The bursaries and the field study, the kids that you are sponsoring are studying to the mining engineer and the environmental space. So it's related to mining. The intention was to incorporate them into our space after their studies, and should we have vacancies. So that is the intention. Mr. Mare asked of the Guptas. There were media reports that my husband has a relationship with a certain Mr. Issa, That is not true. SSI, Mr. Marais asked if they were appointed properly. When we started as this board, we were asked to perform an investigation. That investigation was done by our Audit and Risk Committee. They came back, and the report that was given to the board, or that was presented to the board, was that processes were followed. There were minor internal controls that needed to be taken care of, and those have since been taken care of. That Demare also asked of the state diamond trader, and I think Ndadimari is referring to Mr. Mervyn Kasten, who's the CEO of the PSJV. Yes, he is the CEO of the PSJV, and he's also the chairperson of the state diamond trader. Lebo, you'll talk to how the diamonds are in as far as the state diamond trading is concerned. Just talk to that process.
Thank you, Chair. The state diamond trader, it's a DMR entity that is formed to regulate the trading of diamonds in the country to the beneficiation of previously disadvantaged communities. So to summarize the Act, 10% of local production of all South African diamond producers should by law go to SDT, irrespective of you being a Lexco or DPS or Petra. So by regulation, Alesco is bound and obliged to send 10% to SDT. So there's no conflict in that regard. It's a national regulation that has to be observed by all diamond producing companies.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, sir.
That is the essence of the question. The conflict is to be a sea island by. That 10% is low. That's the difference with our
Chair, if I can respond to that, that's not our space. We did not appoint Mr. Customs to be at the state diamond trading company. It's not Alexco's space at all. So I think the question should be directed to the relevant minister.
Can I then take the chairperson, take it up with him as new minister, please?
Okay, no, the DGG is here, he has noted that. Yes.
And the
ministers? Yes, the office of the minister is here. Yeah. Yes.
So can I clear, Mr. Constance is not the CEO of State Diamond Trade, he's a chairperson of the board.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you. Noted. So please proceed responding. Are you done with all your responses?
No, we're not done. And there was also an issue raised around the two boards. Yes, there are two boards, ma'am, and yes, the two boards are chaired by one person. There's a question of conflict there. But I think DPE will better respond to why that is the case, because it is part of the shareholders' compact that the chairperson of the Alexco must be the chairperson of the PSJV. I think that I will ask DPE to respond to. The issues on the Auditor General and our follow-through. Most of the issues that we had as Alexco, in as far as the, say, irregular expenditure or supply chain issues, were basically because we did not have a supply chain practitioner full-time. We now have one. And we can only commit to ensuring that going forward we improve. The CFO works very closely with the supply chain practitioner that we ensure that we are not faced with the same situation going forward. There was an issue around why we want to diversify into coal. When the auditors audited us, they said the fact that our only business case is the mine. It is a risk because if you look at it, only 51% is directed to Alexco. The 49% remains the communities. But not only that, the deal of settlement allows for what we call put option or a call option.
where either party can exit the relationship. So what happens to Alexco? Should it get to the point where the community say, we want to own this opportunity 100%, Alexco, will it cease to exist? Those are the questions that that we would have to be asking ourselves. But at the moment, then the auditor said, you will not be classified a going concern further should you still remain reliant only on the mine. You need to get yourself diversified into other areas. Okay. I'm going to ask the CFO to speak to the issues around the slide 9 and 12, where we're talking about different profits, and this is mainly because of the consolidation, but if you can just explain that quickly.
Okay, if we go to slide 9, it says the consolidated loss, 35.5 million. It's talking to 2016 number there. And then if you go to slide 12, again, if you look at the bottom there, it's 2016, that's talked to 34.9. It's a rounding issue on that. There's no difference in respect of the losses reported in the 2016 year. Because 2017 year, we are reporting a profit, and that's consistent in both slides. The 6 million on the other side is the net profit, and then over here we're showing 34.5 million, which is net profit, operating profit. There's the difference. On slide 12. I'm comparing slide 9 and slide 12.
Okay, that was the question asked by Honorable Friend, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
And Chair, there was also a question on the underperformance of Muslak. We are busy with exploration, and that exploration, because at the moment we are mining an inferred resource, and for us to convert it to a resource that is
how do you call it, inferred or what?
Measurable.
Yeah, the resource which people can comfortably go and mine. We would need to complete that exploration, and that's why focus is more on the marine than it is on the land currently. There was a question on IMDSA. Who owns IMDSA? We know it to be owned by there's an Italian, there are Italian partners, and there's also Mr. Christovis is there as well. As a local, and there's a BEE component to the ownership.
Yeah. The holding company is called International Mining and Dredging International, and the South African or the SADC operator is called International Mining Dredging Southern Africa, which is operating in both Namibia and South Africa, and the BEE partner in South Africa is South African Vessel Mining Services, which is the guys who participated in Alexco operations.
Okay. The other issue is on the split for 85-15 split. The 85% would go to IMDSA. We explained earlier on that Alexco uses a different model to other mining companies. Other mining companies would...
The normal practice is unit of currency per the output. In your gold or platinum, it will be rand per ton or rand per liter, whatever community you're dealing with. But the model that Alexco is doing is commercial split, which is obviously unique to Alexco, not a mining industry practice.
We see that as serious empowerment to a contractor that we deal with, that split model, because then you are not saying here's your tonnage and whatever.
We have to work this way. We have a situation where the room is packed. Sorry about this disturbance. Please proceed.
So Chair, we're saying we see that model as a better approach than what other mining companies would do, because then with other mining companies you go dig and whatever the owner gets out of your tonnage belongs to them and they pay you per tonnage, whereas in our case whatever diamond you get we split whatever percentages we have agreed on, and the percentages ranges from 60 to 85% in the case of IMDSA. There's an issue around cost-effective organization exporting raw material. Honourable Member, yes, for us the issue of beneficiation is quite important. I'm going to ask the CEO to speak to what approach we are taking in as far as this beneficiation is concerned.
Thank you, Chair. Just to give you a background on beneficiation, if I can also respond to Tata Maria, we're currently doing 5% of the production that's done through a factory with SSI. Now 5% for Alevsko, which produces around 50,000 carats per annum, is nothing compared to what Alevsko as a company can do. The insourcing or outsourcing of the beneficiation comes to feasibility of it. You used to have 4,000 cutters and polishers in this country. Currently, you're sitting at 950. Out of the 950, 12 of them are historically disadvantaged people. So this is a high entry capital business. So for anyone to play in that space, you need to have money for stock, money for machines, but most importantly, resources to cut and polish your diamond so that when you beneficiate them, you can sell them at a profit. So we are busy doing the due diligence to see going forward what will benefit Alevsko in general. But we've also sent around 10 students to Kimberley Academy to start training on cutting and polishing, because without you having the base of what you're going to do, you're not going to be able to maximize your profit. There's two ways around it as well. Not all diamonds are cuttable or polishable, so you have to assess which diamond are you going to cut, which diamond you're not going to cut. Currently, ourselves and DP, DMR, State Diamond Trader, the regulator, we're trying to come with a formula whereby we can look at beneficiation benefit, more especially for Northern Cape and the nation in general. So it's an ongoing thing that I cannot give you a yes or no answer. But I can tell you last year, June, the rand dollar was sitting at 1:14. It was great cutting diamonds in South Africa. In December, when there was an election in Johannesburg, the rand dropped to almost 11:50. It was not a good idea. So there are many factors that are affecting diamonds, because diamonds are not sold in South Africa, they are sold outside, and because of that, you're selling them in dollars. So your international events affect you, and therefore to play in that space, you need to have serious cash with you or serious stock with you. So currently for Alevsko, producing at around 50,000 per annum, we're taking one step at a time towards beneficiation.
My last input, Chair, is around the SSI, the marketing company. The minister, Minister Godan, has asked us to expose him to all the forensic audits we've done. We have exposed him to three of those, and it is to be noted that the three forensic audits were issues that happened before this board's term. We have exposed the minister to the issues. The minister has also came back to us to say he's going to do his own forensic, and we welcome the decision by the minister to do the forensic, because that will clear
many of the things that are lingering out there.
Thank you very much. We are getting there. Do you want to come in? I thought the chair was closing. You want to make some addition?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Just on the questions that were raised by Dr. Marae, yes, I visited SSI, and again, as a CEO, when I took over the contract was there. All I needed to do was to do your regular checks if your supplier qualifies on the basis of what he promises to do. On the Gupta question, Dr. Marae, I've been in the mining for 22 years, and I was a mine manager at Impala. There's a company called JIC. I was working under my underground staff. That company subsequently was bought by Westdon. When I was a GM at Royal Bafokeng Gang, JIC was still operating. When I was a GM at Hennig, Westdon was operating at Hennig. So that's the relationship, professional relationship that I had with Westdon. The other question that you asked was about wellness. If I can just say there's a wellness program that we're doing at the mine. We're very aware of the stresses and the fatigues that are related to mine workers. And therefore, we've got, with our HR, we do have a wellness program. The suspense account or unclaimed money, this is more related to your underground mine. We're not an affiliate of Rand Mutual, whereby we put money aside for underground incidents. So we don't have a suspense account. The other question to Merantu, you mentioned that the mining in the rivers, we don't mine in the rivers, we mine in the ocean, and your question about the seabed and the diamond moving, sorry, the sea moving and the diamonds moving. The diamonds that are mined are not in the sea, they are on the sea floor, which is why your ocean is divided into shallow, mid, and deep. Is the depth of your, or the length, or the reach of your tool that can reach the bottom of the floor. Therefore, you will not find more movement on your diamonds. Rather, the water will just float around. But it's because we have sand thickness of around 10 meters between the water and the sea floor, those diamonds are basically buried, if I can say, 10 meters in the sea. So they don't migrate as per your suggestion.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I just start by saying there's two aspects to what we'll cover. Moroka will speak to the issues around the 45 million rands and what has been done to pay out that particular money. I'll speak to the issue of the PSJV and some of the questions that have been asked here. Chair, the issue of the PSJV being an unincorporated entity and therefore not subject to the PFMA has been one of the challenges that we have had in playing the oversight role over Alexco and that particular entity. And its unincorporated status is a direct product of the deed of settlement that was entered into in 2007, between government and the Rachtersfeld community. And what it has meant is that there are what I'll call the symptoms of that deal of settlement is you have the issue of the two boards. You have the board that is directly appointed by the minister, which is composed of the non-executive directors of Alexco. That has been a suboptimal arrangement from our side, and we tried to address it in the past, like during the term of Minister Brown. We pushed for appointment of the executive of Alexco, because normally if you have a 51% interest in another entity, it becomes a subsidiary. So proper arrangements would suggest that you should have the executives being the one that play oversight over that subsidiary. which is not the case with the PSJP. So we tried that, and I think the executives became directors in there. I think it was for a week or so, and the arrangement was changed. Unfortunately, we're not privy to the reasons why that arrangement was changed. But it has an issue that we have raised again now with the Minister Godan to say we need to look at this particular arrangement, because what it means is that we cannot go into the PSJV and look at, for instance, the issues that have been raised, how contracts are awarded, you know, who's benefiting from those particular contracts. So as a department, we therefore stop at Alexco. And obviously, if you are going to address that and amend the PSJV's arrangement, we have to have the consent of the community, because the 49% owner in that business is the Rustenburg Mining Company, which is part of the CPA. So those discussions and agreements will have to be had with them. And there's already been preliminary discussions, because even the payout of the 45 million rands will need that amendment, and Moronga will speak to it. Honorable Mare has raised quite a number of questions around how the PSJV is run, and in the process, he also touched on the issue of the mining contract. What we just want to say on that particular, and Minister Godan has directed that a law firm be appointed to do a forensic investigation into that. And this was instigated by complaints that had reached Minister Brown at the time, and she directed that that the department do an investigation to this. We went into the access file in January. We did a preliminary investigation where we had we interviewed both the board and the contractors that had complained at the time. So we did our report, and at its completion, in fact, it was completed during Minister Brown's time, and she had consented that we proceed with the recommendation that we've made, because we said that there's here...
Are you referring to January 2017? No, 2018.
Okay. So we had said that we believe that there's a prima facie case for us to have someone a lot more professional to come in and do the investigation to these things. And Minister Brown had consented and said we can go. But it had, obviously, the change of ministers. Minister Godan came in, he had to ratify that particular decision. And that has happened, and the process is unfolding. As we are sitting here, it is just awaiting the DG's to issue the appointment letter. But the firm that will be doing the work has already been identified. Moroma, can I... maybe before I hand over to Moroma, then the issue of on the board, the issue of the chairperson of Alice could be the chairperson of PSJV will be addressed by that particular, because ideally what should happen next should be the CEO of Alexco, by the issue of 51%, should be the chairperson of the PSJV. That's how the arrangement should be in terms of how I would say, in terms of the Companies Act, in terms of the norms and standards, in terms of how companies are run. So that those things will be addressed in due course. Roma.
Thank you, Chair. On the
question.
Okay. Moronga from Department of Public Enterprises and Oversight on Alexco. On the 45.
What is your position on the oversight?
I'm a director in the Department of Public Enterprises, reporting to Mr. Katas, DDG. On the 45 million payment progress, the department in 2017 visited the four communities to advise the community on what needs to be done or to amend the court order, since it's a variation from paying into the property holding companies into beneficiaries. So the court order states that the 45 million should be paid to property holding companies. The community requested that money be paid directly into the beneficiaries. So we have visited the four communities to inform them of the process that needs to be done in order to amend the court order to enable the payment into the beneficiaries. And in this December, after we had a briefing at a portfolio committee, Rural Development appointed a legal advisor for the community to assist them in preparing the court orders paper to submit to, in order for the variation to be effected. I believe the legal representative has compiled proper amendments, and those amendments will be discussed in the AGM with the community, I believe, in the on the 12th of May, for the community to ratify the amendments to effect the 45 million payment, and then that will be taken to court for ratification. And there was also another obligation in terms of the Edo settlement, that is a township establishment where Alex Corps was required to upgrade the Alexander Bay engineering infrastructure and hand them over to Richtersveld Municipality. Since Alexander Bay Township was converted from a mining compound into a formal township. The township was ratified in November 2013, so it is it's one of the Richtersveld Township. The department experienced challenges with the handover with the Richtersveld Municipality, indicating that they've got capacity issue in terms of funding and also the skills that are required to manage the infrastructure. However, that has been taken over by the DG of Northern Cape, and the DG of Northern Cape is conducting a site visit on the 17th of May next week in order to facilitate the handover of the engineering facility services to Richtersveld Municipality.
I'm worried about the TV, nekhanda lami konke nje ngoba ne TV ngesikwazi ukukhokha nekhanda lami alikhokheki ngoba TV yakhokheka iTV yakhokheka ikhanda lami alikhokheki. You want to come back to department chair? Yes? Please round off now. You are eating time off of the other entity.
Yeah, Chair, the one point that I just want to put on record is, you know, while we are pushing for this 45 million rands to be paid out, there's other tranches of money that has been paid into the Richtersveld company. And there's about 300 million rands that is sitting with the investment holding company, which I would urge the committee to also have a look, because that is basically outside of our jurisdiction as a department. And how that money is being managed and whether it is benefiting the community, that's the portfolio committee may want to have a look into, because we really believe that that there's a lot more that could be done with regard to development in the Richtersveld if that money were to be properly utilized. Because as things stand, from our last understanding, the CPA does not even have control over that money. The investment holding company and the trust have literally are refusing to report into the CPA, and so that it can be gathered in terms of how that money should be spent. So I just want to put that on record to say, while you are looking at the 45 million rands, it's not the only money that government has paid into the CPA structures. Thank you.
Okay. Now, so that we don't eat out of, so that we don't eat out too much, eat out on the other entities' time. Please get straight to your 2018, for which you only have 10 minutes. I want you to, your other questions were covered, and but your 2018 will come back with it. The others were covered.
Yeah, no, Chair, thank you. Just arising out of what the DG said, is it not proper for us maybe to have a joint meeting with the other committees on the 300 million as well, just to find out where the blockages are?
We'll get into that when we summarize the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, I'm noting that.
Chair, there is a question that has not been properly answered. That is mine. Should I wait for them to give the 2018?
Yes, please, if you can talk to them. Thank you. Please get into 2018 target. 2018-19.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Slide number.
This document.
The performance target 2018-19. Slide number 4. It's got the following heading: section weighting, key performance area, key performance indicator, unit of measure, and then 18, 19, 20. Slide number 4 will be dealing with only PSA VKP ACE. Looking at the first one, financial stability, we projecting that that the margin, EBITDA margin for 2018-19 should be 10.5. And then if you look at the second point, which is the operational excellence, you see there the land and marine carats, you put 52,000 on annual basis. And the reason being that we've explained our land or the non-exploration on the land, that we can justify or increase the resources without the academic approach. So normally you would have drilled or use your geomex to justify the extent of the diamonds that you have in your ground. Deep sea production, we have not budgeted for it because at the time of submission, the boat, Yatoi, for which is used by IMDSA, was not compliant to be back in the deep sea operation. But we have since got the certification that the boat should be ready end of May, and therefore it can start sailing towards the coast towards end of June. Midwaters, we've actually put 5,000 carats there, and that was based on the amount of contractors who were there, but we have since increased the number of contractors. Year to date, we are approaching 25% of that target already. Yeah. Expansion of exploration program, as we said, we're looking at exploring the land. The sea so far has been explored by the companies that are in mid-sea to deep-sea, and that is because of the technology that they have on their resources, obviously. So we are trying to expand, as you can see, Cliffs and Berdefle, Holkhat South and Gordom, so that we can increase the resources and the reserves that we have. Coming to skills development, just in short, your artisans, we have allocated already, but we want to increase that number to 3.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't have the document from which the presenter is talking.
It's another presentation.
This one.
This
thin
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thin one.
There is not that much English in this one. It's figures.
Yes.
Eh?
It's a target.
Yeah.
Oh, you're speaking to the figures.
Yes.
Not reading.
And he's elaborating. He's not reading the figures.
Yeah, yes, the performance target for 2018-19. Thank you, ma'am. We've mentioned that your diamond beneficiation, you put the number 2-3, but with the cooperation with Kija, we've managed to increase that number to 10. And again, it was the development that Northern Cape government encouraged us to do. So that the three that you're using was during submission, but subsequently they agree that they'll also help one way or the other so that we can increase the number to 10. Engineers, the number is 4, and then finally increase it to 6 in 2016. The training spend is what we said we'll do. The percentage of leviable amount is sitting at 5%. If you look at your CSI or corporate social investment initiatives, we're also looking at percent of net profit after tax. And current is based on the 6 million rand at the PSJV level. That we're thinking we're going to create 2 permanent jobs and 2 contracts. That will be your maths or teacher who will upgrade students from your maths literacy to the real maths. Your spend on be compliant, we're hoping and we're working hard to taking it to 60%. As mentioned earlier, our weaknesses are black-owned, black women-owned, and black youth. And looking at those percentages, we started now, so then the people with disability, we're now starting to actively include those ones in our tender document. If we look at the Alexco one, I think slide number 7, your financial position in percentage-wise, it's for 18-19 is 0.85 of your 60 million cash buffer up there. Commodity diversification, we mentioned the coal, but subsequently the project of the coal or toll processing of coal has been put on coal for until further notice. Your mineral beneficiation, which is one of our key KPIs, is we have started discussions with SDT, DPE, DMR, the regulator, and the whole view, sorry, in the Northern Cape economic development, the whole view, Chairperson, is not to look at it from Alaska point of view, but to look at it at national point of view, or regional, starting with the regional, which is the Northern Cape, and then expanding it outside the provincial capabilities. The environmental rehab, so far I can state clearly that 80% of what was supposed to be done, the demolition and the asbestos removal, is done. We had 55,000 square meterage of asbestos that needed to be handled and removed. I can safely say we have today transported to an environmental safety asbestos disposal area around 35,000. So that is going down well. Looking at the procurement, as Alex, we're also sitting with the same problem of black-owned, black women, black youth, and people with disability. The numbers that have been put there are what we have, and we intend to meet them during the 2019, taking into effect that those numbers included the coal toll processing strategy as well. So they might be tweaked, because now your coal beneficiation, which was supposed to be part and parcel of Alexco Corporate, is not going to be there. Looking at the last but one slide, we're saying we continuing to explore business, and there was a question of making business outside Rustenburg. Alexco Corporate has a mandate to operate at the Alexander Bay and outside Alexander Bay. So we are looking at joint opportunities, more especially with your junior miners or junior mining communities, to have the same model as we're having at Alexander Bay. Because the problem is most communities who've got the mining rights do not have the resources and the skills. So we see ourselves as the buffer between those communities and Alexco. Operational excellence, obviously we are operating under the DMR, Minerals Act, and every legislator that's got anything to do with mining, environmental, and all those regulatories. Socioeconomic and impact analysis, like mentioned, our view or our mandate is to create jobs, to develop the skills, to empower companies that are, according to the NDA, women-owned, youth-owned, and people with disabilities. And lastly, your environmental rehabilitation, whether current or historical, it has to be done according to prescription of the law and the plan that we have as Alex. That's basically our plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. On asking questions, please be reminded that the minister indicated that whatever is presented in 2018 and 2019 by the entities is still a draft. He requested we take those as drafts, and further requested that we give him 6 weeks to complete his exercise in terms of intervening in these entities. And so I'm just saying we shall be mindful of that when we ask these questions. Now I'm recognizing the hands. I'll start with Mr. Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm mindful.
Okay, let me just take the further hand. Singh Luyenge, Mare, in that order, so closely with the Honorable Ranto, you said you wanted to. Okay, Ranto, and that's the list. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank
you, Chair. I'm mindful of what the Minister said, but I'd still like to know from Alex Core Management here, what informs their corporate social investment targets? Because if you look at what happened in 2016-17 in terms of spending on BE companies, black-owned companies, black women, they've achieved virtually zero. And now suddenly from zero, or even 15%, which is hardly anything, you're projecting 60, 70, and 80% on some of these areas. I mean, do you have plans? Do you have sustainable plans to achieve that? Or will we come back here in 3 months' time, or I mean 2 years' time, and say, well, we projected 60, we've achieved 10. Is it just figures for the sake of figures? Targets. Thanks.
In that order, members?
Thank you, Chair. My interpretation is around the role of the general members of the community in your plan going forward. There are two boards now, the PSJ what, and then the ordinary board, and I understand there is one chairperson. So is there any mechanism that you want to employ that will improve the relationship between the institution and the community? Because I don't think it is cost effective enough, the issue of having two boards. You run one board and then you have a mechanism to incorporate communities much more than before in order for them to own the whole exercise. Then is there any part of that land that you are operating in that is under claim? If that is the case, what is the attitude of the land commissioner and the community? Unfortunately, I was not around when you were responding to the plowback mechanism, social responsibility. If you did not, if you can pass and if you can assist me by maybe breathing or on that.
The next in that order, member? No, it's Mare.
Mare.
Yes, Honorable Mare. Honorable Mare.
Chairperson, since you said that the minister requested us about the draft as previously, I've got only one question. I want to refer back to the previous document. For clarity for all the members of the portfolio, that we understand it quite clear. Can we please go to page 26 of the previous document as presented to the portfolio committee? And I just want to take one example and explain to me that I just understand it, that everybody can understand it, then it's much easier. So I don't know if the chairperson of the CO can help me, assist me here. page 26, and then we go to the page 29 and all the remunerations as explained as also on page, the next page after that. Now go back to page 26, we just take one example. Can you please, behind the name of the person, just give me the figure, if applicable, if applicable. Let's go to the left-hand side. The ARC committee, I just take a name at random, because I don't know these people, it doesn't matter. Mr. T. Haasbroek is a member. What is the salary of remuneration attached to that ARC committee? Move to the next one. Mr. Haasbroek's name is again on the tender committee as the chairperson. Is there remuneration attached to that? Move to the next one, the rehabilitation committee. Mr. Haasbroek, is there remuneration attached to that portfolio as a chairperson? Move to the right-hand side, the PSGV board. Mr. Haasbroek is there. Is there a remuneration attached to that? Then move to the next one. Mr. T. Haasbroek was the ARC committee, that amount. Next one, the tender committee on this side, Mr. Haasbroek, again, give me the amount. If there is, if it's applicable, give me the amount. Technical committee, Mr. Haasbroek is serving there, give me the amount. The remuneration committee, give me, if applicable, the amount. Because I pick up the names versa vice both ways. But I just take now one example, and then give me, if applicable, the amounts to each one, please. Then we all here understand what is going on or not is going on. Thank you, Chairperson.
In that order, Honourable Ron.
Thanks, Chair. I also had that question before, but with the confusion that was made by a certain thing that happened within the community, because I wanted to check if these people are referees and players at the same time within the same the same organization. But Chair, there are also issues that are being raised by the Auditor General on financials. But because you said we must then leave this to, so that the minister can make his footprint or his footwork in the company.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask questions. I'm saying you should be mindful when you ask.
Yes.
That and the minister, I hope the minister will also clarify some of the questions when he delivers his budget speech on the 15th. Thank you.
I'm worried about what the Auditor General has raised, Chair, about the non-compliance with laws and regulations. Because The auditor's findings are worse than before. So if they are worse than before, what is happening within the company? Is there any problem on the use of your finances? Is it because you have a board of PSJV? Or a board of Alexco and one executive? Maybe you find it difficult to maneuver within the two boards, and your work becomes difficult in complying with certain standards. And if you don't comply with regulations and laws, then you are a criminal. It's clean as like that. If you're not complying with the law, you act against the law, then you are a criminal. I mean, it is as clean as that. At my age, Chair, I am now a person who just speaks speaks my mind. You see, I really don't care. I'm preparing for I'm preparing for the grave, so that when I get there, I get to heaven. Chair, the other thing is, we were given a report of a trust that has been opened, and I don't know who opened the trust, whose under name is the trust, but I just wanted to get the interest of the money that is in that trust, will it go back to the community, or will it be the that interest will be taken by the whoever has opened that trust? Is that trust under the name of the community, or is the trust under a name of a certain lawyer or advocate or a company that is there? And also the issue, Chair, of the maize flour. Maize flour, as far as I know, is a production plant. And when you explained or you responded to my question, let me read it. The maize flour issue is your report, your own annual report states that land, beach and shallow water mining production was due to the underperformance of maize flour, the plant itself. The production, the shallow water and mining production was due to the underperformance of maize flour. What are you really saying there? I just could not get your answer on the maize flour issue, on the maize flour, because it is a production plant. How does it affect the production that is coming out of land and out of the beaches? What is happening there? Can you further explain for us, please? The other one is, Madam Chair of Alexco, when you responded to Mr. Mare's question on the Gupta issue, you said you are not related, your husband is not having any relationship with the Gupta. Could you then explain to us, or maybe the department or the CEO, what is the relationship with the Gupta and the company? Give us a relationship with the Gupta company or the Gupta associates or the Guptas themselves. What is the relationship of them with the company? If there is no relationship of your husband and as per the media was saying, I'm not saying I agree with what the media say. I'm just saying if there is no relationship, what is then the relationship of them with your company? The properly constituting of the company, it has been said for the past three years that we are here in Parliament, the properly constituted constitution or constituting of this this CPA, is it CPA or whatever, what does that mean? Because the community is there. Then who is missing? Who is not there, who is supposed to be there to make up the CPA and the properly constitution of that of that group of people? Because if there is anyone who is missing and who can't be found, let us help find that person so that we get that structure to be properly constituted and take this thing forward and get rid of everything that makes us to be in suspense. Chair, I think those are the only. Okay, how long will it take us if in the? Maybe I should ask this to the rural development. I'll wait for the rural development board. Okay, thanks, Chair.
Please don't go, because we really are pressed with time. I would not be doing justice to another entity. Please don't go back to the question that you have answered, not unless it says you did not answer it properly. The members that have stepped out, they will get the answers from the secretary who's recording. And the other issue that was responded to by the department, the chair, that of the two boards, don't get into it, because we have responded to it, and it's the minister that and the department that is responsible for that, as you indicated. Just come in. You have only 10 minutes to respond. If you make less, I'll be glad. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The issue of the Gupta, there's no relationship with Alexco and with my husband's company. The monies are with Weber Wenzel. The trust is opened by the Weber Wenzel. Both the 45 million and the 4 million that was declared as dividends. The others, Chair, you said you shouldn't respond to. I'm going to ask management to talk to the what informs the target.
Thank you, Chair. The maize flock question. Maize flock is the name of a area. That area, there's mining and there's processing of diamond. So when you say operations, that maize flock, we're talking the land operations, which is mining. Sorry, the Mr. Mara's question, your payment of the NEDs is as per National Treasury, and there's a retainer that, an allocation per minute, per meeting attended. So basically depends on the number of minutes, the person attended, and the rate.
For us to understand this quite clear, and I want the minister to take cognizance of this, how it's constructed.
Okay. How it is structured, and the department and the ministry's office is taking note of that. Please proceed responding. Are you done with your response?
Chair, if I may address the question on the PFMA and non-compliance and being a criminal. Just for clarity, what transpired was the auditors modified their report on the basis that documentation couldn't be found. And it's got to do, like the chairperson said, with historical procurement. And because we changed auditors and because we changed offices, documents were lost. So when the auditors did the audit for some of the FCM expenses that came through the financial statements, documents could not be found, hence the modification of it. And we've now put in processes in place to ensure that documents are well kept so we don't end up in the same situation where we get a modified opinion because the auditor does not have a document that they can rely on to audit it.
Department, the chairperson of the board mentioned that the chairing of two boards, the LSCO one and the joint venture one, it can only be clarified by the department. If you are in a position to clarify it, you clarify it. If you are not, next time you have to clarify that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we referred to it earlier. It's an anomaly that's now in the minister's court to address.
Okay.
Going forward. There was an issue around the payments. Chair, can we come back on that particular one? Because what should happen, you get an annual retainer and then you get paid per meeting you attend. But I understand the question of Mr. Marais saying, now if you're a chair here and a member, are you getting two retainers? That's the question. So can we just go back?
Yes, do more investigation and come back to us. Any other questions that were not answered, that are supposed to be answered by the department? Have you answered all other questions except the one that you have requested more time?
Well, from the question that you asked, Chair, we have answered all the questions.
Thank you very much.
Chair, the plans for the targets, do they have plans for the target that they put down?
Okay.
And can they share with us so when the minister intervenes we can see?
Okay. That one?
Chair, that again comes down to an SCM process that was not handled properly, but now with the new SCM manager that has been appointed,
we are making sure that we are targeting our SEM processes toward the designated groups.
In fact, that's they are repeating that response. Can we now leave with that for now and say thank you very much from Chairperson of the Board, leading and the CEO of ALESCO, leading his team, for your presentation. At this stage, we are done with the ALESCO, and we are going to take only 5 minutes comfort break. Is it okay with members?
Yes.
Only 5 minutes comfort break, and then we come back. It's now 11:50. By 11:55, we should resume our meeting with SAFCOT. Thank you very much. Nihambe kahle. I don't know who's born. Who's born? I don't know who's born. I don't know who's born. If our guests now are leaving, thank you very much for coming, and have a safe journey back to your destination. If you want to remain and observe the remaining of the meeting, you are most welcome. Thank you.
What is that again? Which one? ALESCO. There's the first one, the big one.
Con un piso,
The people who are going to this meeting, they will not come, they will not come here. And there's nothing to know.
Welcome to a staff call led by the chairperson of the board, and this is a very thin delegation, a delegation of two gentlemen.
This lady
is part of a staff call. Okay, three delegation, two males and one female. Still a very thin delegation. You are most welcome. Thank you for arriving early in the morning and be part. It does assist to listen. And because if you commit, also you have such mistakes, you are learning to rectify it before even you start speaking. As you go through your presentation, you make some corrections in certain errors because you have learned from your colleagues that have presented before you. Having said that, I'm going to allow the board of the chairperson of the board to introduce in the absence of the DG. I'll go straight to you. Otherwise, I was going to ask the DG to introduce the matter. I'll go straight to you, and you say a few words, and then you pass on to your team, your CEO and the other team member. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning. It's still morning.
Good day,
Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Lungile Mabeke. I'm the Chairperson of SAFCOR. With me, I have the CEO of SAFCOR, Mr. Munaheng, as well as the Acting CFO of SAFCOR, Ms. Kale. We thank the opportunity to present on SAFCOS performance targets for 2018-2019. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, the CEO will deal with the in fact, on our presentation outline, there are three items. There's background, the strategic objectives and drivers, as well as key performance indicators. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, request the CEO to start the presentation, and he will hand over to the acting CFO when it comes to key performance indicators. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good day. I'll, because of the time constraints, I'll try and go straight to the real issues. If we can go over to slide 4, which is background, I want to quickly talk about the subcall quickly. And subcall has got the group consisting of three companies, Komatiland, Abacus, and Kamhlabane. And Komatiland has got a subsidiary in Mozambique, in which Komatiland owns 80% of that entity. And we own 20% of that entity. And that entity is called Diploma. There's always a question about Diploma, how it's performing. We are addressing that in terms of looking at the structure, because it's too far from visibility. It's lower down in the structure. We are really looking into the structure so that we can manage it closer. And we, in terms of the processing that we have, 25% of our solos are processed within SAFCOS, and the other 75% is sold to the open market. So the industry depends on our 75% of allocation. So it means that for our industry to be successful, we as SAFCOS have to be successful. So we play a very important role in guiding and facilitating the success of the industry at large. Then the next bullet point talks about the land. SAFCOS leases land from government, from DAF. But I must say that 99% of the land that we work on is leased, and about less than 1% is actually owned by SAFCOS. So that land is government-owned land that we are utilizing. And commercially, so 62% of that land we use commercially, and the 38% we looked after it for conservation on behalf of the nation. But we don't get benefits from doing that. We hope that will be recognized in the future. We manage 189,000 hectares. As I said, we manage 189,000. 187 we're leasing, and 2 is our own land. I must say that for us to ensure that we have sustainability in the industry, that current forest industry and the future of the forest industry is maintained, we have to comply to certain standards. And I must say that SAFCOS is probably the only forestry company in the country that's certified for sustainability of forests. We are not only chasing money to make sure that we get returns in the short term. We chase the business in the short term. We involve the communities in participation, but we look at the sustainability of this industry, so that in 10 years we should still have the forest and good forest being operated. But if you are being driven by business, you over-harvest, and in the next 10 years you don't have forest anymore, and we are not going to allow that. That's why we managed to maintain our certification. And SAFCON is one of the few in the world forestry companies that are certified. If we could go to slide 5. The core foundations of our SAFCON strategy, we realize that we can depend on raw materials, that was solo. We're talking about growth of the business. If we depend on growth, we said we have such a number of land that we can plant trees. And it says that you can only harvest so many. So we are restricted. We cannot go beyond certain number of trees that we can harvest per year. So that says that we have to find other means that can generate revenue into the business. And processing, efficiency in processing is one of those. So that when we take the 25% that we process, we should more make sure that 20% yields better value for the business and the shareholder and the country at large. We have to ensure that we collaborate with the industry, because we have a responsibility to ensure that there's sustainability in the industry. We have to make sure that the industry understands that and not just chase profit and cash, but look at the sustainability of the business. And as part of our strategy, we are engaging DAF, because we have identified that for us to grow the business, there's forests that belong to or managed by Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, which as per their annual report, they are not managed well. We have identified that we can manage them, can manage the forest on their behalf and generate better value for the country. So we are looking at that, we are negotiating with them. It's taking longer, but would like to achieve that as quickly as possible so that we can create more value for the country. We are reviewing the harvesting policies so that we can increase value for the company. And as we always say that it's so difficult to change the culture. We have embarked on a strategy to say we have to change the perception about wood in the country. That people understand that wood can actually be better than steel in terms of durability, in terms of the environment. You can't compare steel and wood in terms of environment. If you're looking at long term of the environment, you would choose wood against steel.
Maybe before you I'm afraid we will pay.
Oh, okay. We won't finish.
Okay.
Okay.
There's too much detail that we are doing, otherwise we won't have time for engagement.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think I must say that in wrapping up that slide, that SAFCON is committed not only to making sure that the financials look good, but to make sure that the communities where we do business are part of this journey for success. And then that will take us to slide 7, where we talk about the strategic objectives for us to be able to achieve the growth, for us to be able to achieve what we say we want to do with jointly with the communities. We want to grow the business. We want to achieve financial sustainability. We have to make sure that operationally we are operating at highest level, implementing best practices, and we work with the communities where we do business. And there we have the different areas that we look at with those objectives, which include the business at large, the processing, economic development of the communities. I mean, all those are there. And for us to achieve the objectives, the drivers that we draw, we have in place, which are in slide 8, which is financial sustainability, the processes, the people, customers and stakeholders, and transformation of the environment. The others we have spoken about, but human capital, which we have to be able to ensure that the people that work with us or work with are at the level that will be a world-class company. So we have to continue training the people. We have to continue making people realize what environment means to not only to the business, but broadly. The satisfaction of customers. I must say that it's not only the customers that we have to make sure that they are satisfied because we want to achieve business success. But there should be shareholder and community satisfaction. So they should be happy with Subcall. When you talk about Subcall, the shareholder must say, we are happy with what you guys are doing. And the community should say, we are comfortable and happy working with Subcall. So those are part of the drivers that that will enable us to achieve the objectives. Okay, if I can move over to the key performance indicators. The CFO will talk about, we'll talk through the financial sustainability, that's on page 10. And I'll take the committee through the operational excellence. The CFO will talk about the capital expenditure and the socio-economic deliverables, and then I'll take over the strategic initiatives.
CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try to be very brief.
Have you been in this committee before?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to go through the key performance indicators under financial sustainability. The way we structured the presentation is we've split the targets. We have annual targets, and in the next slide, we'll then talk to the individual quarterly targets for the 18-19 financial year. Because our compact is over a three-year period, we've then put that in here for the committee to have a three-year view of what we've compacted against. On the financial returns, your EBITDA over revenue is 5% for the financial year 18-19. Revenue growth, we've contracted on 2% growth. Overhead, over expenditure reduction is 5%. Cash interest cover is 1. Current ratio, we've compacted on less than 3.5 times. Cash ratio is 1. On the debtors days, is 60 days. Creditors days, as per the National Treasury instructions, is 30 days. And inventory days is 40 days. And then I'll just quickly hand over to CEO. Quarterly targets are the same as the annual targets, so we'll skip over them in the interest of time. I'll hand over to my CEO for the operational targets.
Thank you, CFO. On slide 13, we have to get the maximum benefit out of the plantable land, which is limited. As we know, plantable land is limited. We have to get more towards conservation. So we're looking at 120,000 hectares of plantable land, but for us to achieve our objectives, we have to get more out of that in terms of revenue. And there with the Mozambique company or subsidiary, we're only sitting at 16,000 hectares. If we can move over to the next page, which is slide 14. We're looking at, we have a sawmill in Limpopo, Timber Dollar sawmill. We're looking at the growth in the latter years. The dip this current financial year because of the upgrades that we are going to have to embark upon. Then later we have to realize growth in terms of processing as a result of the benefits we are going to get from the upgrade. And the sales, we're currently looking at sales volumes on lumber, which we plan to grow because as a result of increased processing capacity. So we should be able to achieve that. Fatalities is not a negotiable. We have to make sure that we don't lose any life in our plantations or in our operations. And to the next slide, which is 15, is just the same, but this is focusing on quarter-on-quarter for this current financial year. And that talks to the next slide, which is 16. And I'll hand over to the CFO to take us through 17 on capital expenditure.
Thank you, Chairperson. As the CEO has indicated, we have a planned capital expenditure program, which is the upgrade of our sawmill. And in the 18-19 financial year, we are putting processes in place to upgrade the sawmills and get all the approvals in place. We do have a plan that is currently in place. If you look at the quarterly targets in terms of the individual items that we're going to do, we are going to appoint a service provider to help us with the upgrade of that sawmill. We want to have a detailed plant design and an implementation plan developed in the second quarter. And then we want to get all our approvals from the board in the third quarter and also comment on the procurement process. And then in the fourth quarter, then start implementation, the upgrade of the timber dollar sawmill. And next slide talks to strategic initiatives. I'll hand over to the CEO again.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you, Chair. The strategic initiatives are part of our strategy because, as we said, we want to grow the business, but there's limitation in terms of the logs that come out cannot go beyond certain volumes. So we have to look at other creative means of growing the business. And the vertical integration is one of those areas that we are looking at. We are looking at a collaboration with the government in Mpumalanga, provincial government in Mpumalanga, to identify and work on projects jointly that will both help the province and help SAPCON achieve their objectives. We're looking at timber frame structures as an out of the logs. We should be able to participate in that space. Jointly, we are focusing on cooperating with or partnering with the communities to achieve this objective. Treated pool, with that space, we are not participating there. That's a big area that we can participate in, and we are going to participate in. That is both for telecommunication, for electrification, and other parts of the duff plantations. As we said, we're looking at taking over the B's and C's so that we can manage them better, and that will generate revenue for SAPCON and help the country at large in the better management of the forest. IPLOMA is a project that is a Mozambican entity. We're looking at that entity to be commercially profitable, and we are going to start this financial year to break even so that we can start realizing profits from that business. And Africa strategy, as we said, we only have limited space in the country, but we want to grow the business, so we are going to grow our tentacles beyond the borders to make sure that we can grow beyond the borders of the country. And the next page is it's quarterly view of this current financial year, which I will skip. And that talks to page 20 as well, or slide 20. And the next slide, which is 21, talks to socioeconomic...
Mine is up to slide 19. Other members, do you have the rest?
Okay, I'll hand over to CFO to take us through socioeconomic.
Thank you, CEO. Through you, Chair. On the socioeconomic deliverables, on slide 21, we're looking at the skills development and the target set for 18-19 on the following. So the number of apprenticeship trainees is 21. The number of forestry, wood, technology, engineering, and industry-related bursaries that we've contracted on is 21. The number of internships that we're going to be offering is 35. Number of sector-specific scarce and critical skills learnership, especially in the forestry processing and forestry industry-related, is 110. And then your learnership on your semi-skilled and skilled workers is 6%, that's including the 1% levy amount. I will skip the quarterly targets on skills development, and I will head over to the target on transformation. Under the corporate social investment, the CSI, our total CSI budget in the 2018-19 financial year for project is 11.5 million. The number of indirect jobs that will be created through CSI and other initiatives, we are looking at 100. The number of direct jobs that will be created, we are looking at a permanent number of 32, and contractors as, at a number of 6. And then on enterprise and supplier development, our planned expenditure on supplier development is 2.5 million. Our planned expenditure on enterprise development is 2.4 million. And then the number of rural black-owned enterprises we are planning to establish in the 18-19 financial year is 3. The number of rural black-owned supplier businesses to be established in the 18-19 financial year is 4. And then we have been contracted on the assessment and development of an agroforestry business, and we are planning to have 5 agroforestry projects with communities in the 18-19 financial year. And then slide 24 is obviously a breakdown of the quarterly target. I am now on slide 25, looking at job creation. We're looking at a percentage of total black top and senior managers. The target that's been set there is 79% for the 18-19 financial year. The percentage of total black female top and senior managers is 36% for the 18-19 financial year. The percentage of total black middle managers is 69% in the 18-19 financial year. And the percentage of total black female middle managers is 30%. And then the percentage of black employees with a disability is 2%. And then the table below is obviously then the quarterly breakdown of that particular KPI. I'm now on slide 26, supply chain management, preferential procurement spend on marginalized groups. We've contracted on a triple BEE procurement recognition level of 2 for the 18-19 financial year. The percentage amount of procurement that will be spent on local content, we're looking at 85%. The percentage of triple BEE spend on qualifying small enterprises, we are looking at 40%. The percentage of triple BEE spend on EMEs is 30%. And then the percentage spent on black women-owned suppliers, we are looking at a target of 44%. The percentage spent on youth-owned suppliers, we're looking at 5% of our procurement spend. And then the percentage spent on disabled-owned suppliers, we are looking at 1% in 18-19. And the table below is the quarterly breakdown of that particular KPI. And then under our environmental element of strategic intent, we have contracted on our climate change response. We have got a board-approved climate change response plan, and in the 18-19 financial year, we are planning to implement that response plan. And obviously, below the table below gives you the quarterly breakdown of the activities that will be happening per quarter as it relates to that implementation. And then on water consumption, electricity consumption, and fuel consumption, we've also got a plan on what we are planning to do there on the reduction of these resources. And then the quarterly, maybe I can go through the quarterly targets there. In the first quarter, we're going to look at a measurement of water, fuel, and electricity consumption at our sawmill, which is the highest consumer of these particular resources. And then we're going to do an analysis of the trends at our sawmill in the second quarter and identify opportunities for reduction in consumption, if any. And then we're going to implement in the third quarter initiatives to reduce the resource consumption at Timberdola. And then in the fourth quarter, we'll adopt all the findings into the climate change response plan. And I think then that brings us to the end of the presentation. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
CEO, any additional time? What does it? Okay. You welcome. Department, let me start with the director and then comes to the DG. Any addition or any comment? Nothing. Did you see?
Yeah. I just want to say it's a product of a negotiation process that culminates in the shoulder compact being signed at an AGM. So in quarter three of each year, that's when we have our AGMs, and that's where the shoulder compact then will be tabled for Minister to approve. Thank you.
Thank you for the additions. I'm noting hands from the members. Honorable Luyenge, Honorable Mare, Honorable Singh, Honorable Feli, in that order, please.
I didn't well, but it's okay. I will laugh.
Honorable Rancho has apologized. She's attending a meeting that started at 12. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. In the interest of time, let me first appreciate the presentation. There are issues which I believe they cut across this new dawn in all these entities, but safe to indicate that there is no dominance of such from the side of SAFCO. Maybe that will be a distant kind of judgment. Can I get an understanding from the chairperson and the CEO to say, are there any issues that are corruption related that they found to have been a part of the activities in SAFCOL? And maybe looking at the reasons and the reasons why maybe the previous executives decided to resign. Are there any elements of corruption? Because if people steal money and then when they see that there are these changes, then people decide to run away, what would be the approach that you are going to use? Then lastly, Chairperson, on the side of growing the organization, is there any arrangement that SAFCOL is contemplating to expand and to make sure that the forestry industry is so huge in the country, but you have those forests that are there and the forests that are privately owned. Are they privately owned legally? There's Marenske, yeah, that man. I don't know whether how old that Marenske was, but he has been there, he has been owning everything that is called a forest. And then you don't know what is the role and the benefit of the communities. If you can look into that and then you brief us, even if you don't do that now, and then as we go out, even at our constituency level, we will get hold of you and make sure that all these aspects you addressed, you address them. After having seen, maybe having made an inspection in local about this forest.
In that order, members, Honorable Mare,
that's the percent. Thank you, Chairperson. I would really love if I can just get the overview for me on the Mozambique investment, to put it that way, because we had previously reports from the operation in Mozambique and how problematic it was. So if I just can have a verbal update on what's going on in the investment there. Yes.
In that order, Honorable Singh, okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think firstly it's remarkable that the company has achieved 1 billion rand turnover. I think you must try and keep it above that all the time. It's a nice magical figure for you to work from. But I think this may be also to the department rather than only to the board, because we don't want to put them under pressure here. Firstly, you know, in all of these state-owned enterprises, we need to ask the minister, what informs the number of members that should serve on a board? Is it the size of the company? Is it the turnover, etc., etc.? And I'm asking this, DDG, because if you see the one member here, Mr. Mguni, and I don't know if he had a Mr. or Miss Mguni, I don't know if there was a Mr., if there was a particular problem, but if I look at attendance figures, you know, on Social and Ethics Committee, didn't attend at all out of 3 meetings. On the HR and Remuneration, attended only 1 out of 4. Board attendance, 36%. And then this member also gets a back pay, and the total pay for that year, 2016-17, was 450 some odd thousand. So I just want them to look into this thing. I mean, do you keep board members that, for whatever reason, cannot be there, and do you need them? So that's one issue. Then the is there any anything linked to the resignation of the CFO? Was the CFO involved in any kind of corrupt activities or something? Where I see you have an acting CFO, and I was told that the CFO had resigned, only appointed in August 2016. So that means within 4 months, 6 months of this financial year, which you are reporting, CFO was no longer there. I mean, what happened to that person? Then I was listening to a program a few years ago, 2 years ago, Honorable Chairperson, and I reported it to Dichang, where a person was very unhappy on SAFM with Sakina's show about what's happening at Safcon, complaining about corruption and all sorts of things. And I got hold of Sakina and I said, you know what, the portfolio committee is visiting, I think it was the following week, but that visit was postponed or cancelled for whatever reason. And then I said, give that number, give Disang's number to that individual. I don't know if the individual came back to you. But is there any element of these kinds of things that we should know about? Because when communities complain on the radio like that, I mean, it makes us think, hey, what is wrong? Irregular expenditure, quite a concern, 200 and some odd million on page 108. How are you dealing with this? And then lastly, Chairperson, land claims. What is the impact of land claims on the forests that you are managing at the moment? Thank you.
That's all the Honourable Chairman, you want to come on?
Chair, only two issues, I think. I welcome the presentation. From where I'm sitting, I'm seeing you having tried by all means to achieve the target as stated. I'm impressed, especially from the socio-economic deliverables point of view, the work that is being done by the company. But the only worry I have was on some KAs which are very broad, like implementation of a strategy, I think it's on page 17, approved strategy implemented for the whole year. It would have been nice. To me, it's not very, very clearly measurable that the KPI. At the end of the year, it becomes difficult for one to check the performance that has been done in that particular area.
I'm on the very same comment.
Page 17. There's somewhere where you say the annual target was to, the annual target 19-20 approved strategy implemented. So I'm saying to me, that target is very broad and it might be difficult to measure it at the end of the financial year. So it might be, that's one other aspect that we might need to try and improve in the near future, 12 targets that are measurable.
Honorable sir,
yeah?
Can you repeat us on the slide? Because the slide 17, even myself, I'm trying to focus on what you are saying, on what you are saying, and I can see the CFO is requesting. Is it maybe the heading? Give us the heading, because maybe the numbering of page is not the same as your. What is the heading on top?
Key performance indicators.
The subtopic. The subtopic.
Capital expenditure program annual target.
Yes, I'm on that page.
Yes.
You said something about it's not achievable. The number is too high.
I'm talking about the annual target. For example, you see 19-20 there. approved strategy implemented. And I was saying to me,
It's too broad. Okay.
And it becomes difficult to measure it. But overall, impression is that the company is doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, members. Chair of the board and CEO and the CFO will always emphasize on the regular irregular expenditure, because we have to ask these hard questions in this portfolio committee all the time, until you really get your head around them and adhere to the regulations by the National Treasury. Because if we don't ask that and we don't monitor what you are doing, you'll find yourself appearing before SCOPA. And ask your colleagues, Transnet is not a nice thing to appear before a SCOPA. So you are better, you might be better than the previous entity that was here, but be rest assured that we'll always emphasize on those issues, and you must try and really and get it right. And then for you now, the Auditor General, with the commitment that were made by the President during the SONA, and the Minister acting on the President's issues raised by the President, you are going to have AGs at your back. So please have your house in order all the time. Having said that, we appreciate that you are improving on your business, but members have outlined areas of concern that you still have to improve on. One of it is it might not be you did touch on it, but we would like you to try and have more footprints on other provinces, especially the rural, the provinces that are termed rural, because it's important for state-owned enterprises to contribute in terms of a growing economy in those areas. We take notice of the reasons that you have given, but try and work on that plan going forward. You can now respond. And then the issue of the board, we'll pursue with the minister, but at the same time, take a note and convey that to the minister, because we are aware that the minister is intervening on the board level of enterprises, state-owned enterprises, and at the executive level, so that he takes that in mind, what we are raising here in terms of what constitutes the number of members of boards, if some individuals really do not attend and make an impact, what's the use of having such a size? So that the minister can also work on that and include it when it comes back to the committee. With those words, you can now respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll respond to a few of these questions and also get the executive to respond.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the question as to whether there are corruption-related issues at SAFCON, in fact, I'll break down that question because it was one question but dealing with two things, the corruption as well as the reasons for the resignation of the previous executive. On the issue of corruption, there are reports. In fact, we have reported before on the investigations, that, and those investigations include some issues of corruption that are being pursued through the law enforcement agencies. Unfortunately, that process has been very slow. We have been struggling to get anything that seemed to be progress there when it comes to, quite clearly, with the NPA. And Maybe also to answer, to link that to the question about the CFO, that was appointed in 2016, who resigned in 2017. Part of what led to her resignation was an internal audit report that fingered her in issues of procurement, irregular procurement. And it was as a result of that process that, in fact, she was being charged at the time when she decided to resign. Yes. On the previous executive, in fact, the previous executive, there were four members of the previous executive, the CEO and the CFO, as the COO as well as executive human capital. The CEO and the CFO resigned after the board realized that the board was not being given appropriate information to make decisions. And when the board insisted that they should, in fact, be entitled to information, then besides whatever else that came out as part of the investigations later on, it was because the board was basically changing the culture in as far as I'm concerned in terms of how management used to interact with the board. I think that was part of the issues that was, in fact, considered as the reason for resignation. But over and above that, if you recall, SAFCO had to restate, I think, the financials in the year that followed. And that was also because there were certain things that were put differently to make the company appear different from what it was. I think one of those was the inclusion of what comes from minority shareholdings that are held on behalf of the community that were included as part of SAFCOL's performance, was in fact it was supposed to be that was supposed to be reported separately, not as part of SAFCOL's performance. And there was also an issue about the equity targets, which also led to the resignation of the head of HCM, because the equity targets were found not to have been the way they were reported by the business units when the head of HCM reported to the board. And those things led to, in fact, in essence, this was, I would say, the main reason for the previous executive to resign was mainly caused by the fact that the board now was paying attention to attention to detail. So that's basically the case. And on the question of recovery, as I said, there is a process that involves the law enforcement agencies, but at the moment, the board has also requested management to do the review of all the forensic investigation reports, at least starting from 2014 up to now, to determine whether we have fully dealt with those reports. Because most of the time when there are forensic reports, management would say it's an HR matter. Somebody who has been involved must be charged, and it ends there, whilst the company may have lost money or whilst there may have been criminal charges that were supposed to have been preferred. But those are the things that the board is waiting on management. In fact, in the next board meeting, that report is due. The next question is, any arrangements for SAFCOL to expand? Okay, we have been looking at getting the DAF forest. DAF is, from what I understand, is managing about 160,000 hectares of land. And as the CEO was was quoting. In fact, we have an extract from the annual report of DAF 2015-2016, where there's a line that says that the state's poor upkeep of category B and C plantation, which has reduced their productivity. And in fact, I was saying to the CEO, in fact, they should have said that DAF's poor upkeep, not the state, because SAFCOT is part of state management of forests, and in fact, is one of the best companies when it comes to forestry management. So, which is why we believe that if SAFCOT is given DAF land to manage, then the country would get, firstly, a better quality in terms of what is currently available. Secondly, it will also be in a position to, the country will benefit in terms of the revenue. But the third thing is the fact that we, as a company, whenever we go around on the CSI project as well as ED project, people, the communities are asking, why are we not extending what we are doing to the provinces where we have operations? But we are saying that our access to management of DAF forests will enable us as SAFCOT to be in a position to do the same thing in the Eastern Cape, for instance, in the Western Cape as well, where there are such forests. Because you can't take the people here and move them all the way to Mpumalanga just to go into the harvesting whilst they have no idea where else can they practice that skill. But if we are close, our part of that community would be in a position. In fact, that's also the case in Limpopo. We can broaden our scope in Limpopo because DAF also has forests in Limpopo. Hence, this is part of our expansion. But over and above that, we are looking in Mozambique as well as in other countries. In fact, there's also the Eastern Cape already, which I saw a report to the fact that the Eastern Cape government is looking at raising funds to plant 100,000 hectares of forest. And we spoke to the CEO to say, in fact, we need to visit the Eastern Cape soon so that they don't take that money and give it to somebody else who's going to put the money in his pocket. But SAFCOT should be the one that does the implementation. Yes, and in that way it will also assist because we're bringing on board the communities in the areas that are concerned. So that's how far we are looking at. And then on the question on the ownership of the privately owned land, I think the last time we appeared before the portfolio committee, there was a question that was raised. I can't remember whether it was the same honorable member, Senga, to say we must look as to whether there's a possibility that government can claw back on the packages that were privatized. Whilst it is a matter that DPE is the one that was driving the process, obviously, of privatization, SAFCOT, as the steward that was given the responsibility to, in fact, to take care of what is meant for the community. Already we have managed to get an internal legal opinion based on the information that's available, and that legal opinion is a matter that still has to go to the board. But the long and short of it is that there has been quite a lot of wrongdoing on the part of some of these companies. In fact, some of these companies have even changed ownership altogether without even consulting with other shareholders, that includes SAFCOT. You know, the consortium that was given the package no longer exists. You know, and they have taken decisions, they have even gone to an extent in some instances of separating the processing to the forest itself. Now, if you do that, it means that that separation, if it's done without being done by all the relevant shareholders of the company. That processing may be owned separately, which is, in fact, that's the case in one of the instances, owned separately. And now, whatever that gets done, you see, and there's more money, by the way, on the processing side. So all these things are things that we are looking at, and we are hoping to come back and report to the portfolio committee on it. So, of course, interacting with DPE as well. But we have definitely started to look at it. And we have also raised the alertness on the part of the people who are representing SAFCOP in those entities to make sure that there is no board meeting, for instance, that people attend without having at least had some interaction with the legal department. You know, people must not just go there because it's nice to go, but they must understand their responsibility, and that has happened, fortunately. Now there's a lot of alertness. So we are addressing that, and it's a matter, of course, that we'll have to come back to the committee as well, to the department, for whatever decisions that may be that may need to be taken. Maybe on the Mozambique investment update, Honourable Chairperson. If you look on the performance targets, there's two references to Mozambique. There's Mozambique Manica in brackets, and there's Ifloma Manica, and there's Ifloma Sofala. These are the two provinces where Ifloma has operations in Mozambique. The Manica one, that's the one the CEO was saying we are looking at breaking even, because if the members recall, in the past, SAFCO was reporting Ifloma being under care and maintenance, and we committed to move from that situation to get to operationalize Ifloma, and that process has started. Hence, the CEO is able to boldly say, well, this is how we're moving. But on the Sofala province, in fact, we discovered last year in June that the Sofala province was meant to be an SPV, where IDC and DBSA had even committed to provide some of the funding for a project, a fiber project, which for some reason got lost in the process, and this ended up being, Floma ended up being dealt with as one project, and SAFCOR spent a lot of money on both, while in fact it was not supposed to be spending money on Sofala. So now the process, as I think there is that indication here, that there's a process of a bankable feasibility study that is being undertaken at the moment for the Sofala province, so that we can then bring in, because this, that is part of the interaction with IDC, amongst others. Of course, now DBSA has changed mandate, but there's a process of getting that to go back to what it was supposed to be. Less money from SAFCOR itself, but SAFCOR still being the one who is doing the implementation. But all in all, there's movement with both the Sofala and the Manica province, and we believe that it's part of SAFCOR's responsibility to make sure that it performs well on both, so that it can be a point of reference for our Africa strategy when we say we're going to Kenya, to Tanzania, or to the West, DRC, and other countries, that we have been able to do this, and this is how we have done it. So that's how Ifloma is being dealt with at the moment. I think let me deal with the issues of Mr. Mguni that have been raised by Honourable Member Singh, through Honourable Chairperson. The question, firstly, on the attendance. Yes, Mr. Nguni had a serious challenge with attending. In fact, at the time, Mr. Nguni was an acting municipal manager of a municipality in Mpumalanga. I think it's the middle back. He was an acting municipal manager there. And as the chairperson of the board, I did speak to him. And when I spoke to him, in fact, he was the acting municipal manager, doing practically half of the work of the executives that were supposed to be the executives in the municipality, of which all those positions were vacant. But it's a matter that was discussed with the minister. In fact, there was even written communication between myself as the chairperson of the board and the minister. And that situation now...
Which minister? The current one or the previous minister?
The previous minister, Minister Lynn Brown. Mm. So there were discussions, but of course, it's a matter that the minister, as the one who was responsible for the appointment of the members, was meant to make the decision. So that was brought to her attention in terms of in the meeting situation as well as in writing. As well as the issue of the back pay. The issue of the back pay also arose as a result of the fact that Mr. Mguni was, at the time of his appointment, was an employee of government. And because he was an employee of government, and our understanding was the fact that employees of government are not entitled to payment unless there's special instructions to otherwise. So hence, Mr. Mguni was not paid up until the minister also raised the issue. That's also Minister Lynn Brown, former Minister Lynn Brown, raised the issue to say, in fact, he was appointed to be paid. Mm. Hence, then the back pay had to happen. Yes, but I suppose the DDG would be in a position to... yes. So that's basically how the issue of Mr. Mguni and the back pay comes along there. But it's because the board... there was a position, and then later on we were instructed that in fact this is how it needed to be dealt with. Maybe the last issue I want to deal with is also related to one of your points, Honourable Member, seeing through you, Honourable Chair, on the radio interview. I think it was in SAFM. Mm. Where somebody who claimed to be to be a member of the community said something about how Safcor is treating its workers and underpaying, and I think that was basically how it was raised. I didn't hear the interview, but that was brought to my attention by people who heard the interview. We subsequently made investigation. In fact, I think that there was even communication with SAFM itself. Yes, they will try to determine where is this coming from. But without necessarily following that message, we also did inquire as to whether is there a possibility that Safcor is underpaying its employees, or there is something wrong in terms of how it treats its employees. And I must say, according to the reports that we were presented with by management, was to the effect that there is nobody at Safcor that is underpaid. In fact, in terms of the payment arrangement at Safcor, Safcor pays higher than the minimum wage requirements of the sector. See? But of course, that process also prompted the board to say, let's visit the operations. Let's interact with the staff. Let's hear the people, the employees themselves, which we have already done in some provinces. We have been to Limpopo, we have been to Mpumalanga already, interacted with the members of, the staff without management. And they have given whatever complaints that they have, things, some of the things that they are not aware of, which things have since been sorted out. So, in as far as that is concerned, that radio interview, we are made to believe that that's not the case. In fact, as part of that, for instance, now in the current situation on the salary, the what has been approved by SAFCO is already for the lowest paid employees is already at the level of the proposed national minimum wage. So at least we are doing our best to make sure that the company becomes an example. We don't claim to be wanting to lead on issues of transformation and compliance without actually acting on that. The relationship with communities, practically all the communities that SAFCOL is interacting with, I'm made to understand that we have a good relationship. In fact, in between 2015 and 2016, there were issues. So to an extent that at some stage, the whole kumbi of people from Mpumalanga came all the way, they submitted a petition, and on the basis of the interaction, those matters are matters of the past. In fact, now as we speak, I am not aware of any situation that is said to be an adverse relationship between SAFCOL and communities. In fact, in April, on the 13th of April, we went to hand over, I was part of the delegation that went to hand over a kitchen block in one of the communities in Dinkies in Mpumalanga. I was approached by someone I didn't even know, a member of the community, who said to me, Chairperson, you don't know me, but I would like to tell you one thing, that we are feeling the difference in terms of how SAFCOL has become so much part of the community. We are happy. That was the kind of big feedback that I got from a gentleman, old man, who came to me to say that. So other than that, I'm unable to. I can't say the aunt people who are not happy with SAFCOL, but I'm saying on the basis of the information, at least that I have, as well as the kind of feedback one gets, there are no adverse relationships that I'm aware of. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
And any additional responses? I'm going to give you a. Together with the department, only 8 minutes, because I want to close the meeting at 15:15. At 13:15, I need to keep myself 5 minutes because I have to go through some issues with the members of the committee. If you can just stick to that 8 minutes in responding. In fact, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Quick one on the DAF annual report. In the report, it says that DAF predicts that South Africa will soon become a net importer of saw logs. That's one of the areas that concerns us, to say we have so much plantations and we are already anticipating that in the future we'll be importing instead of exporting. That's why we are under pressure to say we want to come and assist and manage for the benefit of the country those plantations. The one other question that I would like to handle is the land claims. That the impact that we anticipating that will come out of this challenge. We were working with, we had to work better with Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs and Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries and Forestry, so that we can have a holistic view, because we lease the land. And if anything happens to the land, we are going to suffer a subcon, but we cannot go around them and do anything. So we have to work with them. They're a bit slow, but we have scheduled meetings now. They've agreed to meet to resolve this issue because it's a risk. It's a, in our risk register, it's one of the biggest risks for subcon. And then the other one is on approval of strategy to ensure measurable targets. We are going to ensure that target is measurable. We'll do that. And business improvement isn't subcon considering participating in other provinces. We have already started on that. We are going to go into other provinces to ensure that we cover as broadly as possible, so that the broader nation can benefit from better management of the forests. I think the last one, Chair, is irregular expenditure. I'll hand over to CFO to take a look at it.
Thank you, Chair. I've got so much notes on this. I'll try and be very brief. The question was, what are we doing about the irregular expenditure? Just a bit of background. In the last two financial years, SAFCOL took a decision to centralize supply chain management office. And part of the reasons that we have these findings is because of the teething problems that come with that. I'll just give you a high level. The SEM structure was approved. It's being capacitated as we speak right now. I think we're only left with one resource that needs to be appointed, which is a committee secretariat. There was a lack of policies and procedures as it relates to irregular expenditure. We have now developed an irregular expenditure register, which we submit to the board on a quarterly basis for review. And then we did submit a draft to the board of the irregular expenditure policy. The board sent it back, so we are refining that to submit again. And then in terms of the enterprise resource planning system, it was a suboptimal use of the system. And what had happened is that they modified it too much, which led to a lot of processes being done outside of the system, which is why we got into the situation where we had irregular expenditure. So what we've done is we've updated the system. Now we've requested a vanilla product. It went live in January this year, and I can safely say we are now paperless. And what we are doing with that system as well is that we are storing all the documents on the system so that we don't have instances of documentation not being found. There was a high attrition rate in the supply chain management function and a lack of handover. And as a result, there were a lot of temps in that particular area, which then led to things falling in the cracks. And obviously, when we have audit, we have findings relating to irregular expenditure as the information is not available. And like I indicated, the function has now been capacitated, so it should eliminate some of that. And then in terms of demand planning, there wasn't a demand planning function that was dedicated and sitting in the SCM function. We've got the board to approve for a resource to come in, and I'm glad to say I think it's for the first time we've submitted a procurement plan to the National Treasury on the 31st of March in this financial year. And then there was the other finding we had was on contract management. The board also approved a resource in that particular area. He has started, he's developed a contract register so we can monitor when our contracts are expiring, because that was one of the areas where we had huge findings in irregular expenditures as people would procure outside of the contract value. So we've got a resource and a register that we are monitoring on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis that the board would look at. And then the other area was the improper appointment of bid committees. We got a senior manager, SCM, who's now put in place the correct processes, policies, and procedures as it relates to that. So we shouldn't have a finding in that area going forward. And the other thing that he's done, he's also centralized all the deviations in the SCM function so that no deviations will happen outside of that function, because that was another reason why we had irregular expenditure. So those are some of the initiatives that we've put in place to address or reduce the irregular expenditure that we have.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of Mr. Mguni, the The problem that arose there was about interpretation. If I'm appointed to a board or the SOC by virtue of my position as an official, then I'm not entitled to remuneration. But if I apply independently to another, to be part of a board where now I'm appointed in my personal capacity, because it means then the fiduciary liability that I carry in my personal capacity, then I would be entitled to remuneration. But what we do as a department, when we submit the names to cabinet for appointment of directors and their public servants, we flag those. And in some instance, the cabinet has said this particular individual here will not be entitled to remuneration. So it must be that explicitly stated. Then we cannot. Then the person also has the. Then can make the call. Do I still want to serve under those conditions, or not? In the case of Mr. Mguni, that was not the case. The cabinet did not say you cannot pay this particular individual because he was not appointed there by virtue of his appointment as a municipal manager. But as we are all aware, there is also a drive driven by from the Public Service Commission and DPSA to minimize the number of public servants that are receiving additional remuneration or that are serving on or have roles within the state, whether they are doing business directly with the state or they are serving in these particular capacities. So going forward, on our side, we are quite cognizant of that particular drive, and I think of the recent board changes, we have not had public servants that have been appointed outside. How can I call it? In their personal capacity.
Thank you very much. I hope you, when you come back at some stage, you'll have to tell us why you did not pursue civil or criminal charges on the CFOs that were found to be on the wrongdoing in terms of the procurement and the supply chain management. Having said that,
just one intervention. Yes? I think the case numbers would be helpful for the committee. So they said it was reported to the police. So if they give us the case numbers, I know in other committees we refer it to SEPs, to the minister, and say, listen, what is happening here, so we can help you in that regard. Yes.
Okay. No. Thank you very much. We are sorry that you had to rush in responding. I think you observed that the previous entity there was a lot than yourself. But I would like you to remain until I close so that we don't get distracted because we don't have much time left. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Board. And your team led by the CEO and led by all of them, led by yourselves for this report. Honorable members, tomorrow I've requested that you get alerted. I think it was done late yesterday, that we require to meet for 1 hour to 2 hours tomorrow to adopt our budget report. We are trying to avoid to interfere with the party's caucus time, but we are just stealing at least an hour from 12. If you could just speak with your caucuses to allow you to come and be at the meeting tomorrow. We've since written requested to the House Chair, but I thought I should just alert you yesterday, even before I get your permission, because that has to be done. That's the first one. The second one that I would like you to note, but the notices will come, is that we are next week, Wednesday, the 16th, we're not going to have a legal advice on repeal of the Overvar Resort LTD bill because they are not ready yet in collecting the submissions that are made by the members of the public and any stakeholders. Because of that reason,
we've rearranged our program. We are taking SA Express from the following Wednesday, of the, which is the 23rd of May, to come on the 16th. So we have already alerted SA Express yesterday in the afternoon to that effect. So in other words, I'm saying next week Wednesday we'll be having we have brought forward the SA Express to come and make a presentation. That's the amendment that I wanted you to note on the diary, although the notices are going to follow. With that, I think thank you very much, honourable members, for sitting through the meeting. It's been a long one, but I think we are pushing to cover the time that was fitting by inquiry from the portfolio committee. So thank you very much, members. Afko, please be safe back to your destination. The meeting is adjourned. Department, thank you.
Thank you.
All the our guests that remain behind, thank you very much. Chairperson, on the time of copies now, two things, and what's all I have for a minute, going to present it. Give our work for one, I want to come around to the presentation. I am in 2019, you said about 2021.
Thank you.